It's time for Twig This Week in Google. Jeff Jarvis is here. Aunt Pruitt's here. Stacey's got the day off, but good news. Matthew Ingram from the Columbia Journalism Review is here. Of course, we're going to talk about what's going on at Twitter. A little bit of inside info on Mastodon. Why the leap second is gone, but hellabytes are in. Or are they out? It's all coming up next on Twig.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This is Twig. This Week in Google, episode 691, recorded Wednesday, November 23rd, 2022. Maureen and Babs Tea Room. This Week in Google is brought to you by Melissa. Over 10,000 clients worldwide in industries like retail, education, healthcare, insurance, finance, and government rely on Melissa for full-spectrum data quality and ID verification software. Make sure your customer contact data is up to date. Get started today with 1,000 records cleaned for free at melissa.com/twit. And by 8Sleep. For a limited time, 8Sleep is offering Twit listeners up to $400 off their Sleep Fit Holiday Bundle by visiting 8sleep.com/twit. After November 30th, go to 8sleep.com/twit and check out the pod and look for other exclusive holiday savings or save $150 at checkout with their normal offer. And by HPE GreenLake, orchestrated by the experts at CDW. CDW can help you consolidate and manage all your data in one flexible edge-to-cloud platform to scale and innovate. Learn more at cdw.com/HPE. It's time for Twig This Week at Google. Oh, I know you've been waiting all week long for this one. It is, it's Excitement City here at Mastodon Central. Joining us, filling in for Stacey, who is out this week, Matthew Ingram from the Columbia Journalism Review, who is very much involved in all of this stuff. You see his new Mastodon URL, journa.host/MatthewI. Hello, Matthew.
Hey.
Great to see you. Sorry about Canada.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, me too.
That's kind
just
of
glad
way,
we got in.
That's a way too generic of a thing. We're talking about the World Cup, which I am actually... Yeah. This is the first time the words have come out of my mouth because I'm so angry at FIFA and think it's so reprehensible for so many reasons. I'm boycotting it. But I did see on Mastodon, I saw a number of Canadians being sad.
Yeah.
So I'm sad for you.
Well, you know, we're just glad to be invited.
Yeah. It's just an honor to be nominated.
Yeah.
That's Jeff Jarvis chortling away.
Chortling.
He is a professor. That's how come he chortles. He's the Leonard Tow Professor for Journalistic Innovation at the Craig Newmark Graduate School of Journalism at the City University of New York. Also on Journa Host. Hello there, Jeff.
Hello, hello, boss.
Oh, wait a minute. You've got Mastodon.social as your
That's what I am. I still am.
Yeah. You didn't? Did you want to move to Journa.host? Hurst?
No, I'm not. I'm Horse. Saying I'm just hanging there. Just hanging yeah. there.
Mastodon.social is the big one. That's Gargan's. That and
I think yeah. I got 4-0 before the rest of the world because it's his.
Yeah, so. It's his.
That was good to see.
Also, Mr. Ant Pruitt from Hands On Photography. Hello, Ant.
Hello, Mr. Laporte.
Also, community manager at our fabulous Club Twit Discord, where you have announced. Right. This is wow, that's fast. They already made a meme.
wow, that is
that
fast.
That took no time. That took no time.
And you said Joe that 3 minutes ago. Is on
yeah,
it.
Yeah. They're, wow. Unbelievable. You have announced we have three events coming up. Glenn Fleischman, right. December 15th. He'll be back from Germany, I hope, by then. He's in Germany right now with his
yes,
son.
Yes, he will. I had to confirm.
Stacey Higginbotham's book club. She's going to do Project Hail Mary. Hail Mary, we've all read that. Mm-hmm. I will be there
good
for that,
book.
January 12th. And look at that, the week after, the Laportes.
Inside.
The Laportes.
The Laportes. It's an inside twit all coming
Les
up.
Les Laportes.
If you are a Club Twit member, you can also do this. Unlike Twitter, you can mock me on Club Twit. Just make sure you put parody in your handle. That's funny. It says, I'm the only one who's expendable at this point. Leo Laporte, which if you didn't know I said that, might be actually scary, but it's not. It's true. I don't want to make this. I want to boycott FIFA. I don't want to talk about the World Cup, and I kind of want to boycott Elon Musk and Twitter at this point, except we can.
News is news, right?
It's an ongoing story. Yeah.
Cluster F.
What's the latest? Should I just go to twitterisgoinggreat.com? You know what? If you really care about this stuff, just go to that website, and you'll always be up to date. Twitter's trust and safety capacities massively reduced. You saw that Yoel Roth left. And Jeff, you were saying how great it was that, you know, Yoel's still there and tweeting.
He tried as long as he could, but there came a point when you just give up. And Yoel's brilliant. I mean, I have utmost respect for him.
I think about 80% of the safety and security team is gone. Yeah,
left. That's what the Washington Post said. And now... they're telling us a story that on November 10th, the trust and safety team conducted a sick out. But that was before. No, I guess it was after Elon took over, but it was last week.
Yeah. How long has it been since he took over now?
I don't know. It feels like years.
Been almost a month, right?
Oh, my God. It was October 27th, I think. I know, because all I have to do is look at the Mastodon graph and it suddenly goes.
Hockey stake.
So virtually the entire team, according to the Post, dedicated to rooting out covert foreign influence operations, was fired or quit. We had an interesting conversation, though, on Sunday, and I want to throw this in. Phil Libin was here, CEO, founder of Evernote. He's also been a venture capitalist. He has his own kind of incubator called All Turtles. It's an AI incubator. Certainly somebody who knows a lot about running businesses, running large networking teams. He was of the opinion that it's very possible that this is Elon just rebuilding Twitter. He said, don't give up on it yet. He doesn't believe Twitter will go down or have a major security event. And there have been articles now saying this is what Elon did at Tesla.
Yeah,
but isn't that what we said?
And it's least, SpaceX.
Isn't that what I said? Long time ago, give the man a chance.
But what is he rebuilding it as? Like, what's it going to be?
Well, there doesn't seem to be a lot of vision, but Twitter 2.0, maybe the X everything app. I don't know.
Oh, come on.
So I don't know about the whole everything app. I get where he's coming from. I don't know if it'll work here, but I still like the idea of someone saying, you know what, this business has not been profitable at all. Let me give it a shot and see if I can make it profitable.
None of us, but how?
All the advertisers are leaving.
You know, we may disagree with some of the practices, but at least he has in his mind, I want to make this business profitable.
Yeah, but Ant, you can't have profit without revenue, and the revenue comes from advertisers, and the advertisers are all leaving because he's driving them out. So... And he's driving the sales team out, and without a sales team, you don't have a sale.
But wait a minute. Not all of them are leaving because people are still using Twitter, sir.
Yeah, I know.
Everybody's been talking about they're going to leave, but they're still using it.
Wait a minute. What if he doesn't want to be an ad-supported service?
Yeah, in fact, he's talked about that.
That too.
And I have to say, it's not like anybody would say, oh, Twitter was so well-run and so successful. Right. They only had one profitable quarter in 15 years.
Ever?
And there were going to be huge cutbacks even if he didn't buy it. I mean, they were talking about 25%.
So in 2018, as Tesla was trying to build the Model 3, he had massive layoffs. He micromanaged the company, moved into the factory, spent the night there. He did something very similar. Talked about, you know, a new mission where you got to, you know, I don't want to say the phrase, but he, you know, worked very hard.
Yeah.
One of his former employees, a senior engineering manager, David Deke, is quoted by the Times saying Musk thrives in existential circumstances. He quasi creates them to light a fire under everybody. SpaceX, similar. It's not nobody would say it's the best management style in the world. Nobody, I wouldn't want to work for it, but. Mm-hmm. Maybe this is what Twitter needs.
If he pissed everybody off and did that, but I think that what he's, I still think that the fundamental strategy here is political chaos, because that's what he's really doing. And he doesn't have to do that to do everything else.
Mm-hmm.
He's really kind of an edgelord meme poop poster. Like this, I left Twitter when he did the thing about Masturbator Don. That was enough for me. I said, that's fine.
The Nazi thing.
But just the other day, he posted a picture of a young woman with a scantily clad. You know what I'm talking about. It was horrible. It was horrific. It was horrific. What's wrong with this guy? If that somebody posted that on any of my sites, I would have banned him immediately.
It's not just that, though. I mean, he's defending all the worst people, and he's allowing them all.
Marjorie Taylor Greene is back. Donald Trump is back.
And I mean, Marjorie Taylor Greene is like is Bugs Bunny compared to some of the people that he's allowing back on this platform.
Well, he just said that he was going to let everybody back on.
Yeah,
that unless you committed a crime. I did one of his stupid non-poll polls and said that.
What happened? Wasn't he going to do a committee?
Oh, yeah. He's claiming that that was a deal with advertising groups and they reneged, and so he's not going to do it.
He uses activists like others use Antifa. It is this kind of generic term for people who are secretly undermining Twitter. And he sounds like a nut.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know if it's in the rundown, but there was a guy who worked at Tesla who talked about how Musk engaged in all this same kind of stuff and how there had to be basically adults around him. So there was a whole group of kind of people just below him whose job was to prevent Elon from wrecking everything, which Twitter does not have. So they'll get them.
I've worked in mogul companies, Matthew, right? I worked for Robert Maxwell, who was a nutty mogul. I worked for good moguls. I worked at Hearst. I worked for the Newhouses. But when you have a guy like Maxwell, you were constantly in a position of thinking that he was on the edge of doing something horrible, and how do we kind of stop that from happening?
Right.
And you've definitely seen that dynamic happening.
He, according to the New York Times, has stopped paying vendors any travel expenses incurred before he bought the company. Sorry, we're not going to pay you.
Including former employees.
I think Elon's, his strategy, if I can sum it up, amounted to, I'm going to buy Twitter, and I'm just going to stir it up, and I'm going to...
But why?
You know. Just cause chaos.
But why?
Because I think he finds that interesting and amusing. I don't think he actually thinks it's going to be a great business at all. In fact, my favorite conspiracy theory is he's trying to drive down the value of Twitter so that the bonds are cheaper and then he can buy them.
Mm-hmm. That is the single first time I've heard a sensible strategy.
Well, it's not, you know what? It's what he did when he first started acquiring Twitter. He didn't tell anybody he was buying a 9.5% stake in Twitter illegally, didn't tell anybody, so that he could keep the price low. And then he announced it.
About that.
And then he announced $54.20, which was a much inflated price, more than he had paid, twice what he had paid, which looked like a great strategy at the time. Now he's going to sell the stock and he's going to recoup 100% profit. He didn't, though. he left out that part. Look, it's a fascinating soap opera. It's very entertaining. It's sad because Twitter is an important resource.
He still continues to stay top of mind. And
Is he like Donald Trump? He just wants to stay top of pop.
Right. He's going to continue to stay top of mind. And not us, but normal folks, quote unquote normals, are going to continue to go over to that platform just to see what he's talking about.
He does say traffic is an all-time record.
And
bots
and continue to just bots goof off over
you know
there
I because I almost don't want to say this news. But he makes Donald Trump look sane because Donald Trump wants to stay in the headlines so he can continue to fundraise
right
so he's got a real a sensible motive
you can call it narcissism or whatever,
he just likes the attention
right now.
$44 billion to get attention.
And
well, it wasn't all
everybody's
his.
Still using the platform. Yes, there's people leaving. There's brands that decided they're not going to do it.
But Apple has left.
There are other brands that are saying, you know what? Okay, we're back now.
CBS left for 5 seconds. And by the way, the weirdest thing, of course, immediately Elon posts a meme from Brokeback Mountain with CBS telling Twitter, I just can't leave you. He's the weirdest meme lord ever. I mean, he belongs on Reddit or 4chan.
The interesting thing someone said to me was, you know, with Tesla and SpaceX, he treated people terribly and his management style was garbage.
But they
made
money.
And the companies were terrible. But everybody was united by the goal.
Because there was a vision.
You know, put people into space, you know, have a reasonably priced electric car and change that industry. But Twitter, you know, to be frank, there is no goal at the center of it. There's no, what is the goal? It isn't even free speech because he's basically shut down everybody he wants to whenever he wants to. So it's just free speech is defined as whatever Elon thinks when he gets up in the morning.
Phil Libin was reluctant to say that Elon was anything less than savvy and a good businessman. Mm-hmm. Of course, everybody points at Tesla and SpaceX. Others say, well, yeah, but with considerable federal subsidy, sure. They succeeded. Mm-hmm. But they did succeed.
Both mm-hmm. Tesla and SpaceX yep. had federal help. Yep.
Yeah.
No federal funds coming to Twitter, I don't think. I doubt.
Well, federal funds, perhaps.
You think there is some secret thing underneath this all that we don't know about that wouldn't make it make sense? Because it doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. No.
No.
It's just crazy. Crazy time.
I think that there may be a political agenda, the chaos agenda. I think it's quite possible that that's what he's thinking.
He's never... he didn't used to be a Russian puppet.
Well, this is where Kara Swisher...
I don't trust her either.
I don't either. And she's been on the TV saying, oh, I know Elon because she knows everybody. Mm. And he was actually not this insane. And it's right-wing media that brought him down. No. Like he was
on her
Mr.
Twitter.
Sanity.
Look what's on her Twitter header. She's standing next to Elon on her Twitter header. She's just as crazy as he is, if you ask me.
I think he has been red-pilled to some extent. Like, I think it feels to me as though, you know, he's been surrounded by all of those types of people who are sycophants or who just want to be around him because he's rich or whatever.
He's Glenn Greenwald-like in that sense, isn't he, Matthew?
Yeah, in a way, I think, yeah.
Look at this exchange between Kara and Elon. This is 3 hours ago. She's talking to Elon. There was a time when you cared about the truth. That is long gone. I'll add, playing to the cheap and dirty seats is no way to live. You may be my greatest disappointment in 25 years of covering tech. Well, you and having to interview Jeff Bezos on a Segway once. To which Elon responds, there was a time when you cared about the truth. That is long gone. This is Days of Our Lives.
Who's writing this stuff? This is terrible.
This is show to thread. What does that reply say? There was one reply.
I replied to him.
Oh, okay. Oh! Of course, it's Jeff Jarvis. Yeah. There's a lot of people.
Oh, there's now there's a lot.
There's a lot of people.
I replied early
there's
on.
There's Julia Child shaking a turkey. There's Kara talking to Elon wearing a weird scarf around his throat. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I would prefer not to cover this, but I'm sorry. We have to because Twitter is important. Or was.
News. Yeah.
I go to Twitter now.
It was.
So maybe it's because of who I am following, but I go to Twitter now and it feels like a strip mall.
You know what? I've been hearing a lot of people in my Twitter community say, you know what? I open up Twitter and all I'm seeing are Elon Musk posts. Like his actual mm-hmm. feed. I have not seen that. And I wonder why that is because I don't follow him. And I've got a lot of meat words.
Well, if you don't follow him, you won't see him.
So I follow him, but I've seen a lot more of him than the algorithm is throwing him.
I don't follow him, but I see him all the time.
Because people responding to him? You shouldn't see somebody you don't follow, right?
Well, but Twitter's been doing that a lot. Twitter's been doing that a lot.
I barely use my Twitter account. I don't follow Elon Musk, but yet I keep seeing Elon Musk pop up. Like
they actually, Twitter will actually alert me and say that Elon tweeted something.
Oh, God. Because you don't want to miss that.
Yeah.
I'm glad I have mute words in here, and I'm pretty sure he's a mute word for me.
Yeah, that's probably
what it is. That's what it is. I'd be curious if you unmuted for just a bit app what you'd see.
Well, here, okay. I just opened mine. I'd logged out.
Wow.
He said, I went to a closet and I found a bunch of hashtag stay woke shirts.
Right.
So now
right.
he's releasing a stay at work shirt. Elon, nobody's going to stay there if you beg them.
yeah. That whole finding a t-shirt stuff, that was controversial.
Here's the stay woke. Here's the stay woke shirts. He doesn't like that word, does he? Woke. He doesn't like that.
I don't either.
Well, and then he started
mad at me for saying that.
He started relitigating the shooting of, I think it was Michael Wilson. Like he had a whole thread about, you know, how. So it seems like that's the sort of red pilling that I'm talking about. I think he has actually been kind of converted by whoever into, you know, anti-wokeness.
Here's a tweet
like
from
his calling.
Here's a Musk tweet from 12 hours ago. More and more over time, as we hew closer to the truth, Twitter will earn the trust of the people.
Oh, just meaningless claptrap.
Which people?
Hew closer to the truth.
I don't subscribe to it, so I couldn't read it. But foreign policy, just the headline is amazing. Twitter's destruction would be a geopolitical catastrophe, not only for the United States, but also for the democratic world. You can't get more apocalyptic than that around
the
social media. I don't think so. But it does say it's more serious than we've treated it as a toy.
That's good advertising for Twitter, that headline.
Well, I just looked at my muted words. Elon Musk is not in my list of muted words. Nothing.
Just lucky, then.
Yeah,
your feed is...
So, it is the case, I believe. I saw this. Maybe it was an Elon Musk tweet. 80% of Twitter users are outside the U.S. It's they're very big in Japan, for instance. Massive penetration in Japan. So, it may not be an overstatement for foreign policy to say, you know, it's a geopolitical catastrophe. It's not...
Or an issue, at least.
Yeah, issue. Not catastrophe, maybe.
Yeah, that's a bit strong.
You know, it is possible
is democracy
he's completely
in danger?
No, of course not. In fact, it might be the best thing ever if Twitter got deprecated and we had conversations in other spaces that
and
were
competition
less,
in spaces. Yes.
Yeah.
Like TikTok.
Okay, let's talk about TikTok, because now Senator Mark Warner is saying TikTok is the worst thing that ever happened and what the hell?
That's been going on for a while.
He says Trump was right about banning TikTok.
Warner, take those words out of your mouth and just look at them, you know, as a bubble. Trump was right about anything.
Warner was a respected Democrat, right?
Yeah, but he's this anti-internet.
I think there are some genuine concerns about TikTok accessing the accounts of American users and their data. And there are fears that the company is basically lying about that.
And the fact that the Chinese government is pretty much curating its citizens' TikTok.
Right. Well, maybe that's true, but they're not curating my TikTok.
No, they're not.
Pretty apparently. They if they are, they must really want me to see girls in bikinis.
Right. They know what's
maybe
going
they're trying
to
undermine our
tick, if you will. You know?
Our morals.
It's a bread and circuses approach.
It's very clear that TikTok's algorithm is not motivated by politics, but by what you look at. Because you can modify it very easily if you just pause at other. My daughter is a master of modifying the TikTok algorithm. She's explained to me, she says, you know, oh, God, don't stop on anything. If only stop on good stuff. You know, just swipe by it as fast as possible.
It's hard, though. It's hard.
Well.
Like, even if you just pause for a few seconds.
Oh, yeah.
Then all of a sudden your feed is full.
They know that. You got the bikinis,
notice
too,
we're talking about bikinis here. Yeah, if Stacey were here, she'd be rolling her eyes.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, or sandwiches, because my son, who is very successful because of TikTok. Thank you, TikTok. FCC commissioner, we reported this before, Brennan Carr said it should be banned. Ugh, FBI director Christopher Wray says this is a little far-fetched. It contributes to China's status as the number one thief of U.S. data in the world. Okay, let's break that down. First of all, that could be true. What are they stealing?
Ant, that's your cue.
That's all right, I'll do it.
What kind of data are they stealing? They're stealing
that Leo likes bikinis.
They're stealing crap.
I mean, is that helpful to them somehow?
Yeah, I don't think it is. I don't think that's I think the one thing you could say about TikTok is perhaps it could be used as a propaganda machine, but I don't think there's any evidence that it's being done. That's being done today. I haven't seen anything about China in my TikTok feed ever.
Nothing.
No.
Or geopolitics in general.
No. People, do get their news from it. People my daughter's age use it to search. We talked about this before. Yeah. I said, you can't search for effects on TikTok. Right.
Oh, yeah, you
can. She said, give me effect.
Yeah.
I said, how old's the Golden Gate Bridge? She said, search for that. Instantly.
The thing is, though, what we are seeing is the fact that once most people pick up TikTok, they can't put it down. That's the problem.
Well, TikTok addiction is a problem, but so is Facebook addiction at one time.
So Chinese, in the day was book addiction.
The Chinese want us addicted, and then they'll move in.
Yeah, right. Because we'll be so busy glued to our phones that they can just march in and it's over. I think that it really is moral panic. I'm not one to say moral panic.
It definitely
panic,
is.
But that's definitely moral panic.
I want one.
You get that one.
Leo's people are.
It's not like people are dancing in the background. It's Uyghurs are bad. Uyghurs are bad. You know. It's like, I mean, I haven't seen anything even Chinese related.
If they're doing it, it's very subtle.
Russian related, or you know, pick your country.
Honestly, by the way, that Mark Warner story was in Fox News. If you want to talk about somebody advancing a political agenda using propaganda, it's Fox News.
It's Rupert Murdoch. Yeah.
Or I guess if you're on the right, you could say MSNBC, and that's probably true.
No, you see, but they're not equivalent. They're not at all. Darn it.
Well, that's just because you're a leftist.
Yeah. Fine.
You agree with them. But I mean, they have a very strong agenda, don't they?
Democracy, yeah.
Okay. anyway.
Lose you a few more viewers. But
no,
I haven't had anybody yell at me recently. I guess.
Yeah, because they're all gone now.
They're all gone.
There's nobody.
There's a guy, speaking of TikTok, there's a guy who I idolize now. He wrote about his, or shared a few things from his feed. And he said that he only clicks on things that are bizarre and unexplainable. And so his feed is just chaos. Like, he shared a few clips, and I honestly cannot figure out what is going on in them. So it's like an anti-feed. I admire that. He clearly put some work into it.
So there is a kind of a drumbeat of people. Maybe they're Elon Musk's stans, or maybe they know something, who say, no, wait a minute, just hold on. Elon has a plan. He's destroying Twitter. This is a Medium post. He has so little use for what was there, he prefers simply to get rid of everything he considers bad, lackluster, or dead weight, and start from scratch. It's creative destruction.
Yeah. Is there anything wrong with breaking something down to build it back up? You know, just totally.
If you got the cash flow to do it, maybe.
Apparently it does.
You know,
this is Enrique Dan's writing on Medium. I don't know who he is, but I bookmarked it, so he must be somebody. he says, Musk knows Twitter and wants to transform it. To do that, he first has to take it off the market. Secondly, he has to get rid of so many of its employees and of a culture that in his eyes does not work, to the point of changing everything, even the decoration, even the T-shirts.
Yeah.
Thirdly, he's only going to keep those employees who are excited about a radical change, to the point of dedicating more hours to it than they have ever done. Or can't leave because they're H-1B.
Right.
And their visas would force them to go back to Canada. People can be replaced. Fourthly, he's shredding users who don't like the way he does things. He's happy to see us go to Mastodon or wherever, or Hive or wherever people are going, who don't like where they think the government is headed and who are not willing to pay to use Twitter. That middle clause, I think, doesn't make any sense. Finally, he's going to take out the trash by removing fake, inactive, or annoying accounts. Not doing that.
That would be great.
When he had the vote on whether Donald Trump should be invited back, it was clear that he made no attempt to keep bots from voting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, same with the latest one. Should I let everybody back? Should I take everybody who was suspended and just put them back on?
What's to say that's not Russian bots with 50% of the votes?
Of course. And all his claims of growth are not bots.
He's, by the way, He was all worried about bots until he owned it. Now he doesn't even talk about them anymore.
Right. Right.
Good point.
He just wanted the price to go down.
Yeah, yeah. That was just, that was, and see, that's the thing to remember. He is willing to do misdirection to get what he wants. He doesn't. Yes, Musk is destroying the company he bought. This goes on, and he's doing it on purpose and consciously, carefully. Ooh, carefully is a big word. When he finishes his demolition job, he'll begin his project, which for now consists only of getting rid of a corporate culture that is of no use to him. I'd agree he's doing that. His Twitter will initially be much smaller than its previous iteration, and which will have a few completely different characteristics, culture, features, and leadership. I can't say that's not true.
Yeah, okay. He is moving fast and breaking things, for sure. But this whether there'll be anything left.
A professor of innovation at IE Business School.
Okay.
Which I think
international.
It's in Spain because he writes in Spanish on his blog.
I mean, he could rebuild it and it could be Gab. You know, that doesn't necessarily mean he didn't have a vision.
So it is possible. It is possible that you're right. He got red pilled and he's now just a diluted QAnoner and he just wants to remake it in that image. That's possible, I guess.
I mean, that's what his tweets would suggest.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the attention he wants.
I mean, that's what... Look, I know people who have become QAnoners. You do too. And there's no... You can't... They are fervent believers.
Yeah. Once they're there, they're there.
And if that happened to Elon, this may be exactly what you would want, what you would expect from him.
You can't bring facts to a culture war.
Nope.
Yeah. But why wouldn't he just... Yeah, somebody's in the chat room saying this is a good point, PS Chops. Wouldn't it have been a faster, easier, and cheaper if he just started his own platform? And why did he have to take Twitter and destroy it to do that? He didn't have a choice, that's why. He was messing around and he got caught with his hand in the cookie jar.
That's what it was.
Right. And they made him do it. All right. Anyway, that's enough of this. I do want to talk, though, about Jurna.host, because there is an interesting conversation around this. So some journalists have left Twitter. And we've talked about it before. Adam Davidson of Planet Money and this is what you do with Mastodon, I might add, has created a Mastodon instance. And he says, I want to make this a place for journalists. We'll be very careful about who we let in. We'll have to vet you. You'll be verified as a journalist so that anybody who's on Jurna.host, which you are, Matthew, is verifiably a journalist. And it's an interesting idea, and I want to talk about it because there are some in the Fediverse who are not happy about it, and we shall talk, but we're going to take a break first, okay?
Thank you, sponsors.
Thank you, sponsors. Thank you, Aunt Pruitt, for reminding me.
Everybody breathe.
Matthew Ingram is here from the Columbia Journalism Review. And apparently, well, I don't even want to read his T-shirt, but
he is proud alumnus.
Satan's
alumnus.
School of Gay and Communism. Good. It's a good school. Very prestigious.
Very Canadian.
not that well run, but it's a good school.
The hazing rituals are hard.
They're tough. Really tough. Also, Jeff Jarvis, who is a professor of journalism, so he should know wherever he speaks. And then it's me and Ant, who just are along for the ride. Ant Pruitt from Hands Up
Photography. Pretty much.
We're just
pretty
here.
Pretty much.
We're just here.
Chilling.
Yeah, just talking. We're talkers. That's what we are. Our show today brought to you by Melissa. Love Melissa. Melissa is a leading provider of global data quality and address management solutions. Every business should be using Melissa. Poor data quality, bad information on your address lists can cost organizations an average of $15 million every year. People are wasting marketing dollars sending information to people that don't exist or to the wrong address. Look, if you're in business, every dollar counts. You got to manage your budgets effectively and intelligently. And the longer poor quality data stays in your system, the more losses you can accumulate. If you want success, your customer information has to be accurate. High quality data actually saves you money. There's another side to accurate data, email deliverability. It is actually harder and harder to get emails through these days. The big email providers have additional authentication protocols they created these in a response to spam and fraud within the email industries, things like DKIM. But these these protocols mean that there's a higher chance of undeliverable emails because of a misconfiguration on the sender's side of things. This is a kind of nice service Melissa provides. Melissa's global email can identify which authentication systems are in place for the MX server of the email during validation. So you can make changes to your server settings to improve deliverability prior to actually sending out the email. Then, of course, Melissa has a database of email addresses. They can remove 95% of bad email addresses from your list. Melissa's global email identifies potential business impeding authentication systems, SPF, DKIM, DMARC. When you follow the best practices for DMARC, DKIM, and SPF and use email validation, you're going to maximize your deliverability. You're going to improve the ROI on leads. You're going to reduce costly IP reputation damage and spammer designations. That's the kiss of death. And you'll increase your email security. And, of course, you'll be adhering to industry standards. Melissa helps you do that. They also help you increase deliverability, avoid high bounce rates and blacklisting, protect your valuable sender reputation, and send to real email addresses that actually exist. Their solution verifies email in real time, pinging each email ahead of time to ensure it's active. No bounce backs. And able to receive mail, corrects typos, corrects illegal characters in the address, detects mobile email addresses that shouldn't receive commercial email messages. And more and more and more. They are experienced, they're independent, 37 years of data quality expertise, and they treat your data like the gold that it is. Absolutely compliant and audited at all times to make sure your data is safe. Make sure your customer contact data is up to date. Get started today with 1,000 records cleaned for free. Melissa.com/twit. Melissa, MELISSA.com/twit. We thank Melissa for their support. And encourage you, by the way, to use that address so they know you saw it here, melissa.com/twit. Okay? Okay. Thank you, Melissa.
Before you launch into Journey, may I do my full disclosure?
Yes, please.
Which is that through the auspices of the Town Night Center that I direct at the Craig Newmark Graduate School of Journalism, I have granted money to Journal.host for its out-of-pocket expenses.
I saw that money came.
Months.
And that was you.
That's me.
Good
That's
for
me.
You.
Well, the New York Times first said it was the Tao Center at Columbia University who has a lot of money, and we don't. We're a public school, and they didn't give any money. We did. But never mind all
fix
that.
Fix that, Times. It was CUNY.
They did fix it. It was, yeah, it's okay. The Newmark, the Craig Newmark School of Journalism. And also, I just got another grant from someone to carry that on. So,
oh, that's nice.
You didn't know that.
So you gave them a lot more money than they need. I just wanted to point that out, but okay.
It'll last them maybe a year.
Okay. I run our server with 6,000 people for $385 a month. But okay, that's fine. They have staff, right? They have people.
They've brought people on to do some tasks. Yeah, they've had to. And I think what we're trying to do, this is, he's talked about it publicly. So Adam... I set up a bat signal to people to say, Adam can't keep doing this forever. And so
he was doing it on his own. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. He has seven now volunteers.
Wow.
And others.
But they're
willing.
Volunteer part-time moderators.
They're absolutely volunteer.
Yeah.
People.
They're people who watch the stream and then say, oh, we're going to block that.
And more than that, they're the approvals and all that.
Yeah.
But we talked to the Poynter Institute, which is probably likely to take it on.
Good. So how many people at Journal Host now?
I think he's up to 2,000.
Okay.
Because he said the same thing. He said if he improved everybody who's tried, it would be like 30,000. I talked to him this afternoon.
No, I'm very careful. We have 6,000 members, all of whom I have individually approved.
Okay. And I quoted you in my
spare time. My spare time. We don't have any additional moderators.
You, Leo, also said that you were going to now limit it to the club, which I think is very smart.
Yeah. So, just for people to understand, first of all, there's a common misunderstanding about Mastodon. The thing that you're joining is the Fediverse, which is much bigger than Mastodon, and it includes PixelFed, includes Pleroma, it includes PeerTube. There's a lot of other things. Microblog, Manton Reese's microblog. There are a lot of other things in. Including, by the way, WordPress, and I know you want to talk about it, Jeff, so we'll mention it. Tumblr has said we're going to get on the Fediverse as well. So all of these are part of a a group of interconnected social sites that communicate using something called ActivityPub. So what really is the key technology here is ActivityPub, Activity Streams, that allows individual sites using various software on these sites to communicate, and for you on any one site to follow people on all other sites. So, for instance, going forward, I would be able to follow a Tumblr account on my twit.social account. Cool, right? It's not Twitter. It's not designed to be Twitter, but it does have some of the features of a Twitter-like service. So Adam has created his own home on the Fediverse. He uses Mastodon software, but it's a Fediverse site for journalists only. And he has to vet everybody, right? Everybody is has to provably be yes. what? With a journalistic yeah. organization?
Or journalists, if they're freelance, they send in, they show clips pieces and so on.
How did you, yep. how you could get in, Jeff, though, as a professor of journalism?
Yeah, also I'm on the board, so I think I can get
okay,
in that way.
You could get in. Okay.
But I think other professors are on. Jay Rosen's there, I'm pretty sure.
So the key is for any Mastodon site, except for the biggest ones, which are trying to be Twitter, and by the way, that's a little problematic, is to create a local community, because you have a local feed that is somehow connected. In our case, it's all the people, this is the middle thing here, all the people who listen to Twit. In Journa.host, to be all the journalists talking amongst each other. That's a great thing. There's a secondary value to Journa.host, because you can presume if I see an account on Journa.host that they're vetted journalists. Right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
That's the idea.
But there is a downside, as I'm sure you...
Well, the downside is any other Fediverse member can block any other. So I mm-hmm. block Gab. I block... There are some, you know, sites that I don't... If people will start brigading us, this is a very big, important part of this. If a site starts brigading us, we just block the whole site from my site. Mm-hmm. And I don't see them anymore. I can individuals can do this too, by the way. Anybody with an account on the Fediverse can say, I don't want to see anything from that site or from that person.
Yeah.
That can be done as an individual, and I can do that as a host. Yeah.
Matthew wrote about somebody who was a little, I think, over the top in blocking because one... Well, Matthew, you should explain.
Yeah, I think the one of the sort of problematic aspects is when a server or instance blocks an entire other server or instance, which obviously is one of the things you can do if that instance has a whole bunch of people that you don't like Gab, for example. So a whole bunch of Mastodon instances blocked Journa.host, and they had a bunch of different reasons for doing it. Some of them just don't like journalists. There were, trying to look at, clickbait, tabloid journalists who will collect, search through, and misinterpret anything you say, enabling hate and harassment. Surveillance capitalists was another comment.
There were, I seem to remember, some problems with some of the people on Journa.host.
When he turned it on, he didn't understand what was going on, and he briefly got smashed because he thought that once he turned it on, that anybody could come in. So he's, oh my God, and he stopped. That was point one. Point two, he let in a writer from National Review Online.
Right.
That's what pissed off especially one server in Australia that said, because of that, you're all awful. I'm going to block everyone there.
So that's just bad practice. But anybody who runs a server can do that. And if you are on their server and you don't like that, then first of all, they should publish that information. So, not all do.
So there were two other aspects. And one I sort of got caught up in because I used a link in my piece in CJR that someone shared that showed how many people blocked Journa.host. So that software that shows you how many people block a certain instance was created by Kiwi Farms.
Oh, yeah.
And so, yeah.
Adam used that Kiwi Farms tool as well.
Right. So then a bunch of people used that as evidence.
Kiwi Farms
that he was clearly a bad person.
Was a kind of a
troll farm.
Instance.
Yeah, they're still around. Yeah. Most people block Kiwi Farms. And using a Kiwi Farms tool, even though it doesn't by itself have any point of view, was seen by some people on the Fediverse.
Yeah, right.
The thing you have to understand about the Fediverse, first of all, it's kind of like a health food store. You know, it's a you're wandering.
An acquired taste? Is that what you're saying?
No, but you're wandering into there was a culture before you all came.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're wandering into this culture, and this culture was very different than the mass culture. Was not.
You're bringing your hamburgers, damn it.
Yeah. I agree.
There's actually a really good, I'm trying to remember the guy's name now, but he wrote a piece exactly like that, talking about how, you know, this was to be expected, not just the Jurna.host thing, but just people from Twitter, Twitter refugees showing up, not understanding the culture, behaving in all sorts of ways to try and get their toots to go viral or whatever that they're used to on Twitter. And and
yeah, we don't
like
that.
You made some good points.
Yeah,
that people had a thing going on. It's like they're having a basement party with just half a dozen people, and they're playing, you know, songs on the mandolin or whatever, and all of a sudden 3,000 frat guys show up with a kegger or whatever.
And it's more that's more apt. But at the same time, that happens. Remember when AOL was allowed onto the internet, and it was this
the long September. I just got the book about that, Net Wars.
And in fact, the guy uses that analogy in his piece about Mastodon.
Best practices.
Richard Littler, can I just read this real quickly? I think this is what Matthew might have been referring to. People grumbling that Mastodon is slow at the moment. You've just turned up with 1 million people in a tiny rural village, and you're complaining there's a queue to get into the only tea room, which is run by gay pensioners Babs and Maureen as a retirement hobby on Monday through Wednesday. Relax!
Yeah, it was good.
But to its credit, the Fediverse has expanded quite well.
Oh, yeah.
And handled this onslaught quite well. I think there's 7 or 8 million new users all of a sudden. It's
imagine what Eugen's life has been like since.
Well, Eugen gets a lot more attention than he probably deserves. He wrote a client, which we all use, which you like, that called Mastodon. But there's others. There's Pleroma.
By the way, I asked today. Somebody, a Fortune reporter, called me before interviewing him. And I said, do me a favor, find out how he pronounces it. Is it Eugen the German way or Eugene? He said, Eugen's right, but I go by, I kind of give up and I take Eugene.
Actually, I always called him Gargron Eugene. Because that's his Mastodon.
It's easier. Yeah. Right.
And everybody knows Gargron on Mastodon. Now it's because he's been in Time magazine.
I should mention in my story, I mentioned that a guy on Mastodon had mentioned something to me about however many instances block Jurna.host. He reached out to me and said, excuse me, I'm not on Mastodon. I'm on Pleroma.
Yeah.
Which I had never heard of before.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's a Fediverse. People keep calling it Mastodon. It's not. It's the Fediverse.
No, it's not.
It's really important to make that distinction.
Yes.
For a variety of reasons. But best practices in the Fediverse is not to block a whole instance unless that whole instance is provably problematic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Remember, as I said, each individual on your server and every other server can block an entire instance if that person doesn't like it, or an individual. They're very good tools. For an instance to block an entire instance is really extreme. I only block about 7 or 8.
It feels like that's kind of the nuclear option.
It's very much so. And so maybe, but again, it's also the privilege of the instance runner.
Yeah.
It's coming out of our pocket. It's coming out of my time. I'm doing it if I want it. But everybody who is on the instance should know what you're blocking.
So, and in fact, some people I've seen have left that server specifically because it did that.
That's the way they respond to it. That's the way they respond.
Which is your option.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a little bit of a hassle. I mean, it's a big hassle. And it's also you lose your toots from
that
server.
Do you lose it or does it just stay there with the old URL?
Yeah, it stays there.
It stays there.
It stays there.
And in fact, if people go, because I moved from Mastodon .social to Jurna.host.
Your stuff's still on Mastodon.
Yeah, so I exported my follow list, imported it, and now when people click on the old link, they just see my old profile, and it says I've moved to the...
Oh, so your old posts are there under the old profile. Oh, that's cool. That's good.
The other side of this is I'm sitting here in Twit Social. I don't see any... There's a lot of other stuff in the Fediverse that I don't see. I only see people I follow... people, that's the home, I'm using the advanced web interface, but this is the same thing. If you click the buttons, I see who's people I follow in home.
Oh, like you caught me. I boosted something during the show.
That's fine. I see. That's allowed on Mesa. I see the local timeline. And by the way, you don't have to follow anybody who's in your instance because you already can see everything that's going on in your local timeline.
Oh, cool.
And then the federated timeline is not everything. So I don't see Gab or I don't see any. I don't see all the other stuff. I only see people who people on my instance are following. So that's a somewhat self-selecting group if you have a good instance. And then if I do see something coming over the federated timeline, if I see nudity or pornography coming over, I'll block that person. I won't block their instance. But if I – the instance blocking is really if you're getting brigaded. If like 100 people from an instance are coming over to your instance and harassing people.
The thing that interests me partly is in terms of behavior and sort of culture is things like the content warning. So when I first
– that takes a while to get used to. I notice that's going away though. People aren't using it anymore.
It is going away, and yet people are getting more upset about it as it's going away. I thought it was interesting when someone explained to me, don't think of it as a content warning like it has to be super serious or it's going to trigger someone or whatever. Think of it as a headline.
Yeah, that's what I used as.
Yeah, and so people, once I started thinking about it in that way, then I used it differently. So if someone sees like bird sight info, as the headline.
Yeah, I don't want to see it.
Maybe they don't want
to. I don't want to see it.
You know, the best use I've seen of it, this is going to sound a little trivial. I don't mean it because the best use is something that truly is triggering or offensive to people. And especially as journalists, we should be kind of aware of that. Though we shouldn't be content warning things about equity and justice, in my view. You know what makes me so sad on Twitter is dead and Facebook is dead pets.
Yeah, you would want a content.
Somebody's putting a content warning on the dead pet because I really just don't want to be more depressed today. I'm sorry for you. I recognize
but
you.
But understand,
but I don't need.
Just
to
as you feel that way about dead pets and bridges, there are people who feel that way about eye contact, which for a long time that was considered to be inappropriate.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep.
So yeah. So I think it's you're coming into this new community. I think content warning is probably going to go away only because there's so many people who don't do it.
Yeah.
It's kind of
well. You can turn it off in your.
I as an instance moderator don't. I expand everything because I want to see it.
Yeah, I turned it off.
Right, and you can do that. But
you can do.
And I wish everybody used content warning, but I mean all the time for every post, but they don't. So that's fine.
Someone also pointed out that it's easy to think because we're used to Twitter, where it's this kind of monolithic thing. They said you can't assume that.
That's right.
Just because people on one instance do something or say that this is supposed to be done that way, that that's the way everybody in the Fediverse does it, because lots of people have different opinions about
those
things.
But remember that Mastodon, particularly, but the Fediverse in general, was originally people were fleeing Twitter because they were they were not safe on Twitter. And so it has a disproportionate number of people who felt unsafe on Twitter. And that's where that whole culture came from.
Yeah. And I had a couple of people explain that to me when I was, you know.
No, I noticed nobody's using it anymore.
Yeah, I see it. It's funny how I see it a lot rarer. Now.
I also see a lot of people saying, well, we want the quote tweet. We want the quote tweet. we talked about this last week.
I think that would be bad.
I think it's a little rude to come into a place and say, "Here's we want it to be more like the old place."
Let me give you a contrarian view of that. And here I'm quoting somebody named Jonathan Flowers, Dr. Jonathan Flowers, who I think has been brilliant on the topic.
I follow him,
It's about Black Twitter. And he's explained a lot of things. But the first is, we talked about this last week, how quote tweet ended up being used as call and response, and it's a cultural use. And he explains very well how it's used. Then the other thing that happened was he was talking about this, and then Adam Curry came in and said, Flowers said something about white tech bros. And then Adam came in all defensive, as white people tend to do, and said, you know, well, just name some. And this is, no, it's not.
This, by the way, is why I block No Agenda Social. It is one of the few places we don't federate with.
Wow. So that's good to know. So Adam then
came back. If you want to follow No Agenda or Adam Curry, don't come to twit.social. Partly because they were brigading us. They're the chief source of trolling on all the twit stuff. So
he was doing that. So then he ended up answering Flowers that way. And I said, why don't you listen to people? And what Adam then said was, the same standard was, open your own instance. And I thought Flowers came back with a brilliant response. A brilliant response, which was, That's your way to say F you. That's your way to say go somewhere else. That's your way to say, well, I have the tools and you don't.
Right.
And that's to say, he didn't say it this way, but I will. It's almost saying separate but equal. Okay, if you want to do odd stuff, go off in your own place and do it. Rather than saying, do we value the experience and the mechanisms that people in other cultures are bringing to this? And so it's not just about everybody adapt. Yes, listen, adapt, learn to what's there, but also listen, adapt, and learn to the new value of diversity that's coming in. And this is nothing but society adapting its norms and figuring this out, not doing very well at it. We'll see if we can do it better in Mastodon or not. I don't know. Time will tell.
It's interesting, though. There's Hive now, hive.com, which I have not joined. This is an opportunity. There's Post.News. There's a lot of places people
Post,
are.
Let's talk about Post.News for a minute.
Yeah, what is that? It's invite
next,
only right
so,
now.
Well, okay, that's Noam Barden, founder of Waze, has started an effort. Let me do another full disclosure here. He contacted me some time ago. He asked me to put together a board of advisors. I had a lot of conversations with him. I like Noam. He's very, very smart. For various reasons, I backed out, and I have no official relationship to Post.News.
I'm on it.
It's his effort to have people. I think I have an invite. I think I can send it to you. Matthew. I'll do that. And by the way, Kara Swisher is an advisor / investor. And so is Scott Galloway. And I don't know if they're talking about that or not. That was part of my rationale.
Kara did not mention it when she spoke about Post.
But she evidently did say it on her podcast. Anyway, it's Noam's effort to, it's a micropayment thing. It's a Noam's effort to have a pool of money that's going to go to creators. And by creators, he means in great measure news organizations. Well, that means he's got to do deals with the news organizations to get their stories up on here. All he has raw, I think, now is Reuters. And he's got to be able to have that deal so the pennies that you give can go to that news organization. So that's part of his belief is that will work out. It's interesting that the first day I was on, it was a bunch of Reuters and a bunch of sharing Reuters. Now, most of it's not news. Most of it's just very Twitter-like. And so here's my pet. You know, here's my party. Here's my other stuff. It's that social reflex. There's more news discussion on Mastodon than there is on Post.News to me.
Interesting.
Matthew, so you haven't gotten on yet? What have you been hearing about it in your news world?
Well, it seems, the same things I've heard about Journo.host, which is it's elitist and journalists should, just quit thinking they're special and have their own little social clubs or whatever, and just that, so I've heard some of that.
Yeah, I think maybe there's a lesson that we can all learn now about centralized things. I think micropayments need to happen, and that has to be centralized, I guess. But I kind of like decentralized. I don't like it that Elon came along and took this thing called Twitter and destroyed it because it was centralized and because he had money. That can never happen to the Fediverse.
And in fact, if Elon took over like Mastodon.social or something and turned it into something,
we just defederate it.
Just defederate and go on with your life.
And this is one of the reasons Gargron / Eugen is less important. It's an open source project with many people working on it. Mm-hmm. He started it. God bless him. Thank you. There's a lot of people working on it. You could fork it and create your own. Pleroma, I think, is a fork. Truth Social is a fork, by the way. So open source software is another example of decentralized that everybody can play and play how they want. And I've always strongly preferred that. I realize I was running against the current, but maybe we've kind of learned a lesson here that there's some value in something that nobody can own, and that any norms that we develop are developed as a group by consensus.
It is funny to me, though. It's funny how, people, it's popular, particularly on Twitter, to talk about how hard Mastodon is and how nerdy it is and how it's all just nerds with on their computers. And yet, email and lots of other protocols people use all day long are distributed and networked and no one owns them. And yet everyone forgets about that. And they think that social networks and the way that Twitter and Facebook have operated is the norm and that's the way that things are supposed to be.
what's funniest to me is I heard how nerdy Google Plus was too. The yeah. same phrase. It's a bunch of nerds and
yeah.
This is, well, I kind of like
Wave.
That. That's where I want to be. Yeah, Wave. That's yeah. where I want to be. So
Wave was great.
I was never comfortable.
I'm sorry. It was great. I liked it.
Stood Wave. Google Plus, I dig yeah. it though.
Plus, well, I'm sure Google's kicking themselves
right now.
Yeah, Plus
right was now. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's the guy he went on to do Cardia that was...
I've
forgotten his name. But he was the champion at Google Plus, and when he left Google, yeah. that's when Google Plus kind of died. Yeah. He was the guy who went to Larry and said, we've got to do social. Social.
Vic Gundotra.
Gundotra.
Yeah.
Right.
We got to do social. It's the next big thing. And I bet you Google kind of wishes they were in a position to do this. Somebody's saying, well, look what happened to Parler. AWS shut them down. Yeah, because they were centralized.
Mm-hmm.
They were centralized. So I don't know why, but for some reason I'm running on a server in France. But
which somebody pointed out to you that you may be in better shape on some law, because mm-hmm. France has a law that would consider you a news organization, and you're mm-hmm. in better shape there in some ways than others.
Maybe that's why I'm on masto.host, which is a managed Mastodon. Maybe that's why Hugo, who runs it, does it, because he's in Spain, I think. But anyway, we're running off French servers. But I could take the whole thing. I got copies, and I could put it on a different server. So it's not a. That's the beauty.
There is
of this.
Another
it's not centralized.
There is another journalist-oriented server I should mention.
Okay.
Newsy.social, I think it is. Yeah, Jeff.
Yes.
What's his last name?
Jeff doesn't put his last name on the page, I don't think.
Yeah, I know. I keep forgetting what it is. Yeah, but he's got, and I know a number of people like that too.
Do you know what's his shtick? Do you know Matthew?
Yeah, I'm not sure it has one. Just seems to be
it's just, you know, Jeff.
Friendly place for journalists to hang out.
I think that's great. I mean, I really like it that we have
it's like a clubhouse.
A thing we could be, which is Twit, and that's our clubhouse. And it makes it a very, very fun instance with very, you know, people with like-minded individuals and all of that.
So he says this is contrast, right? As opposed to journal.host, newsy.social is a Mastodon instance for journalists, news people, journalism educators, and comms professionals, otherwise known as PR people.
Oh, see? That's verboten.
Oh, no.
Although anyone who follows our rules and guidelines
not
is welcome
today, Satan.
If invited.
Not today, Satan.
Jeff Brown is his name.
Yes, Brown, yeah. Yeah.
And they have 14,000.
Yeah. He's
so it's bigger than Journa.host.
By
that's because you let PR people in.
It's all the PR people, yeah.
Oh, God.
Good, I will defederate right
PR
away.
PR people are great.
No, there's a lot of good
best
people
friends
there.
Are PR people.
No, I'm teasing. All right, let's see. So done our social stuff now, haven't we? Here's a surprising story. Amazon Echo, a colossal failure. $10 billion lost this
What does that mean?
Year
lost how?
Alone.
How is $10 billion lost?
Well, here's the story. They make and sell these at cost. Mm-hmm. They don't make money on the hardware.
Well, like and razor blade companies lose money on the razor handles. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, but they sell razor blades. There's nothing that Echo sells. Yeah,
Amazon sells you everything on Earth.
Well, that was the thinking was, and that's why Jeff Bezos was all over it.
But people don't do it.
Yeah,
they just don't do it.
The report says, this is from a Business Insider, spoke with a dozen current and former employees on the company's hardware team. The report says that while the Echo line is among the best-selling items on Amazon, most of the devices sold at cost. The one internal document describes the business model by saying we want to make money when people use our devices, not when they buy the devices, razor blades. The plan never really materialized because not many people want to trust an AI with spending their money or buying an item without seeing a picture or reading reviews. By year four of the experiment, Echo was getting 1 billion interactions a week, but most of those conversations, and think about what you ask your Echo to do.
900 million of those were make a list, add something to my shopping list. Right. What's the weather?
The two most popular, play music and ask about the weather, which are not monetized.
Right.
I do buy stuff on my Echo. You know, in fact, I bought razor blades, but not enough. Most of the stuff I buy on Amazon, I don't use an Echo for. Amazon also tried to partner with companies for skills, like buy a Domino's pizza or call an Uber. Remember, you could call an Uber with an Echo. Amazon would get a kickback. By 2020, according to this report, the team stopped posting sales targets because of the lack of use. They also tried to paint it as a halo product with users who are more likely to spend at Amazon, even if they aren't shopping by voice. But the studies of that theory found that the financial contribution of those users often fell short of expectations. Furthermore, it's thought that Google's having the same problem. Google expressed basically identical problems with the Google Assistant business model last month. You can't monetize what's the weather and set a timer for 10 minutes.
Well, why? Unless you control the weather. Why aren't these big giant companies, you know, leveraging better marketing strategy to sort of, you know, make it top of mind? Say, hey, you can order that pizza right now through these magical devices.
Google said all of their attempts to monetize with display ads and company partnerships have failed. A billion requests, that costs you a lot of money. There's servers that have to run. There's software that has to be maintained. It's not free.
Yet Shoshana Zuboff argued in her book that I finally finished, gritting my teeth the whole time.
I know you love that.
That voice was the key to the whole strategy to invade our lives and steal our data and
I think it was. It just didn't work.
It didn't work. Probably because of people like Shoshana who don't trust it. Shoshana has this cold notion that it's listening and collecting data and all that, which is it's provably
not. Well, if that were the case, you wouldn't have those high usage numbers. You can't have both.
It's provably not.
Everybody's got phones.
You don't have an assistant in your house, right, Ant?
No, I don't, because I just have no interest in it, because I have a phone that would do the exact same
Well, that's true. That's a good point.
I got one and I never use it because I can't think of the uses for it.
We use it basically the only thing as a timer.
And don't you have them in every damn room of the house,
well
Leo?
Spent, sir.
Yeah, well, that's true. And so different devices will have different uses. In the kitchen, where I have an Echo, a Google, a Siri, and a Sonos.
Wow.
It's funny because Lisa really likes to use the Echo for a timer. I like the Google for a timer because it plays fun music and it shows pictures of food. Or if I have multiple timers, sometimes I'll use the Echo, sometimes I use the Google.
Wow.
The Echo's great for reading audiobooks. Okay. You could say, Echo, read to me. The Sonos, the only thing I can do is play music, and usually you can't even do
that. I've got the G-Word assistant on the Sonos, so I just tell it to go to the next song.
Phone for a timer. Making coffee every day, I tap this one screen to pull up the 30-second timer for my Bloom and Brew. I didn't need Amazon to do that.
The only reason I ever talk to the Sonos, because it really is terrible, is the voice is Giancarlo Esposito, who is the guy who played Gus Fring on Breaking Bad. You know, Pollo Hermanos. So, the chicken brother. So, I like hearing from Gus once in a while. But mostly what he says is, I don't know what you're saying. Use the app.
Horrible experience.
The worst interview question in the world, by the way. But whenever I do interviews, somebody, there's always a few of the same questions. But one of them is, what's the best new technology? I hate superlative questions. What's the worst thing that ever happened to you on the air? What's the best thing that ever, anyway?
I know that.
Can I tell you one anecdote about that?
Yeah.
I went to a demonstration, a presentation in Toronto by a couple of gentlemen from Hiroshima. And it was about the nuclear explosion. So they had a bunch of like blast radius maps and so on.
Oh my God.
And you know, they were talking about Hiroshima and
heavy
Nagasaki.
Duty.
It was fantastic, like really in depth. And this poor radio reporter shows up late, and then he walks up to one of the gentlemen and he says, you can tell he has no idea what is going on, he needs a clip. Needs a clip for the news. So he says, just how bad are nuclear weapons? He's waiting for, you know, like
Hiroshima survivor, what's the worst thing that happened to you?
How bad are nuclear weapons?
So anyway, so I get that question a lot. And for a long time, I was saying voice assistants are the most exciting new technology, the ability to interact. Well, it ties hand in hand with edge computing, computing moving off the desk into everything. And then you need to communicate with it. So voice seemed like the way to do it. I thought it was a transformative technology. Well, I have to tell you, given what we've just learned, it seems highly likely Amazon and Google may stop making these.
Well, they still have the software. Antspoy, they still have the software.
It's in your phone.
For the phone.
It's in my watch.
And you still use it. And so they're not really, the only question is, do they choose to not market it? I think they'll have devices that do this, but they just make pull back the marketing and sell you something else.
You know, I just realized what that reporter should have gone up to ask him. He should have said, "War, what is it good for?
What is it good for? I got a Fossil Gen 6 watch, which unfortunately Google Assistant doesn't work on it. So they give you. So I thought,
hysterical.
Oh, great. I can get it. I can get
it. It's an Android Wear watch.
I know, but on that chipset, for whatever reason, Google Assistant doesn't work. So they're like, oh, just use it. So, fine. So I start trying to use it to send a text from my watch. It says I have to register with the app, which is the world's worst app.
Yep,
of course it is.
Yeah, so the app takes 5 minutes to load. I try to add the smartwatch. It has no idea there's even a watch in the room. So I try everything. Finally, I spent hours with tech support at Amazon. They had no clue what was going on. So I had to reset my account. I had to select a new password. I had to forget the watch. I had to remember the watch. And it, finally, the guy's like, I'm sorry, I can't help you. It must be a Fossil problem.
Of course.
Yeah.
And all you were trying to do was just send a text that says, bring home some
milk. It shouldn't
be
that complicated.
Well, I guess it's going away. I mean,
I guess
if they can't monetize
it. I won't miss it.
Yeah. $10 billion Amazon lost in 1 year.
I want to see that calculation.
That's real money.
Wait. If they sold it at cost, how do they lose $10 billion? That's what I don't get. Where did that number come from and what's the calculation?
The cost of
it?
Running the service. It's very expensive.
Well, Google's going to keep doing it because it's for your phones. Apple's going to keep doing it because it's for your phones.
Right. So maybe just Amazon. Yeah. Although, unfortunately, Amazon has now made a lot of deals with Fossil, among others.
It sounds like it's going very well.
Amazon should make a phone, maybe.
I hate to tell you, but it's over by the moon right now. It's on the Orion. Here's a beautiful picture, by the way.
It is?
Of the Orion capsule. Yeah. I'm going to tell you something very cool about this. That's the moon. And the Earth in the distance, Earth rise over the moon. That's the astronomy picture of the day today. It's, don't you remember they put Amazon's Echo into here so that the astronauts could talk to it? And they actually put an iPad in there. But I do have a story about this if you're interested. Here's some good news.
Can they just say, start the lander, Alexa? Or
yeah, that's like, was the idea, is that astronauts would talk. I'm sure Amazon gave them a ton of money for it.
That's where the $10 billion went.
That was the real reason. Well, now you can display a message. In order to use the Amazon Echo, they had also put an iPad up there so that there would be something to talk to the Echo, because as you know, there's nobody in the capsule. So they're using an iPad, and now you can display your message on the iPad and get a picture taken of it and download it, the iPad in space. So in order to do that, you have to go to the Callisto website and you say, send a message. This is Callisto. This is an iPad in a box.
So this will be Leo Laporte says, I'm the only person who's not needed here. Is that the message you're going to send?
Yeah, that would be funny, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be hysterical? No, I think that because they vet every message, obviously. You have to say something like, peace on earth, goodwill towards men.
There's no intelligent life here.
Yeah, right. And it'll be shown on the screen with your name and your email address. Upon submission, your message will be reviewed and selected for display at the sole discretion of Lockheed Martin. Messages with derogatory, defamatory, racist, sexist, or otherwise inappropriate content will automatically be rejected. Messages include copyrighted materials or endorse any person's products, brands, etc. will also be automatically rejected. I think you have to write something pretty anodyne to get it up there. You know, peace on earth, goodwill toward men.
I can see Howard Stern's guys managing to get a dirty name on it.
Baba booey to you all.
Speaking of which and whom, Howard Stern's interview with Bruce Springsteen was amazing. It's going to be on HBO this Sunday.
How did you see it?
Well, I subscribed to Sirius. You can see it. But also, I listened to it. Then, but they did it on video. Howard was in the same room. He got past his germaphobes because it was Bruce. And
imagine that.
You can watch it on the Sirius app. This morning, Howard was on Morning Joe for a full packed hour. Wonderful discussion. Just wonderful. And then the Bruce interview is going to be on HBO this Sunday. Special deal.
The Howard Stern rehabilitation tour continues.
It's pretty amazing. He's an incredible interviewer. It was really quite great.
Let's take a little break. Come back with lots more. Stacey will not be here next week again. She's got a very busy November. She'll be back, though, after that. But next week we have a very important show, and I want you to start warming up for it because our guest will be Alex Stamos, and he was in charge of security at Facebook, left Facebook because he was so upset over the Cambridge Analytica scandal, former CSO at Facebook. He's currently at Stanford University's Center for International Security.
Also supported by Craig Newmark.
And is an expert in security and disinformation. Should be a very interesting guest.
Yeah. And he's keeping lists of the security problems he sees in Mastodon and the Fediverse. So I can't wait
to hear that's going to be
his
scary.
Thoughts about that.
He was also at Yahoo when a billion records were exfiltrated. So he has been fighting the good fight to prevent encryption backdoors. We'll ask a little bit about the attempt to eliminate encryption by the federal government.
I remember writing about Alex the first time I heard his name was when he prepared an internal report for Facebook about Russian activity.
Yeah.
And he wanted to describe it in detail. And was told basically not to do that.
Mm-mm. Right.
Not to use the word Russian.
Yep. Well, he was right. He is currently partnered with former CISA director Chris Krebs in the Krebs Stamos Group. How did we get Alex Stamos on this little show is my question.
Hey.
Did you do that? Did you get him?
No, actually, this is one I didn't.
I tweeted at him and said he should do it.
Did you?
No.
I don't know where he came from, but I'm thrilled.
We had a conversation. We said we should get Alex in.
Long time listener, and then, first time caller.
And Jason Howell,
Jason,
our producer,
went and did his work.
Just
because he's that good.
Booked him. Nice.
Jason.
Thank you, Jason. Wow. So that's next week on This Week in Google. More of your calls coming up. No. More.
Punchy much, sir?
Let's go to the switchboard.
It's time for the weather.
Duluth.
With Ed Pruitt.
Our show today, you would think I'd be more coherent. I got a great night's sleep last night. And thanks, I might add, to my 8 Sleep, our sponsor. This holiday season, this holiday season, give the never-ending gift of deeper sleep. Doesn't this sound nice, just the idea? I want more deep sleep. Consistent good sleep can reduce the likelihood of serious health issues, decrease the risk of heart disease, lower your blood pressure, even reduce the risk of Alzheimer's. And the key is that deep sleep, the garbage collection process. Even 50% more deep sleep can make all the difference in your ability to concentrate, your performance, your recovery, hormone regulation. Now, how does the 8 Sleep do this? Well, it's actually really simple. The 8 Sleep is an amazing tech layer that goes over your mattress like a fitted sheet that dynamically cools and heats each side of the bed to maintain the optimal sleeping temperature for you. With the 8 Sleep Pod, you can start sleeping as cool as 55 degrees. That's pretty chilly. Or as hot as 110 degrees. That's pretty warm. Or anywhere in between. It monitors you, monitors your sleep, monitors where you are in your sleep stages. It also monitors the room temperature. Of course, everybody, I think you know, the worst thing in the world is to wake up hot in the middle of the night sweating. That's not good. But it's nice to get in bed, and it's cozy, right? So that's how I have my 8 Sleep set. I set it to be warm. I get in. It feels good, especially during the winter. It feels good. It's so cozy. And then as I drift off into sleep, it brings me into deeper sleep by slowly cooling down. And then in the morning, it goes back up. It ramps up. It's almost like an alarm. They do have a little vibration alarm in there you could use too, but I don't need it because as it gets cozier and warmer in the morning, I'm going, oh, the only problem with it, it's so comfy, I don't want to get out of bed. The 8 Sleep's amazing, but it does it to both sides. So Lisa has a completely different sleep pattern, and it does it differently for her. It's so cool. You fall asleep faster. You sleep deeper and longer than ever before. Clinical data shows that 8 Sleep users experience up to 34% more deep sleep. It's incredible. It's not a holiday miracle. Now, I have to say, the holidays are coming in the Northern Hemisphere. It's getting cold. But as we head to summer in the Southern Hemisphere, this is a great solution, too, because I've had this for more than a year. So we went through a summer, a hot, hot summer, and having the 8 Sleep as almost a little air conditioner made it so nice. It also saves money because I don't have to heat the house. I don't have to cool the house in the summer. The 8 Sleep does it in a much more efficient fashion just by heating and cooling our bed. I love it. If better sleep is on your wish list, look no further than the new Pod 3. We have a Pod 2. And we're going to upgrade to the Pod 3 because it's got twice the sensors. I am so excited. I can't wait. For a limited time, now we've got a really good deal for you, but it's only good through November 30th. So you need to act right now. Up to $400 off their Sleep Fit Holiday Bundle. That includes the pod cover I was talking about. That's my favorite. They also sell a mattress, but the pod cover is, if you like your mattress, it just goes right over the top. Go to 8sleep.com/twit. Okay, 8sleep.com/twit to get those holiday savings up to $400 off. They currently ship in the U.S., Canada. Good news, Matt. The U.K., select countries in the EU, and they do ship to Australia. EIGHTSLEEP, 8sleep.com/twit. Now, if you're hearing the show after November 30th, that's okay because you still go to 8sleep.com/twit. And look for other exclusive holiday savings or save $150 at checkout with their normal offer. But right now is a really good time to do this. Up to $400 off their Sleep Fit Holiday Bundle. 8sleep.com/twit. Now let's go to the phones. No, I'm joking.
This time will you read the instructions about putting it on?
Yeah. So when we first got it, and we got it because Kevin Rose recommended it, and then Amy Webb got it because he said it, and she said, oh, it's a great. So we got it. Before they were an advertiser, we got it. And, you know, Tech Bro said, oh, yeah, it's easy. You just put that. I could see that. You just put that on. And then they opened the box and said, wait a minute, what's this? They had a whole extra part. So then I went and watched the YouTube video, and I realized I'd put it on upside down. So I had to take it off and do it over
so
again.
So funny.
Yeah.
So funny.
Just watch. It's easy to do, but you probably should watch the YouTube video. They tell you to. Jeez. It's like, oh, wait a minute. What's this? Oh, that goes underneath? Oh.
Whoops.
Whoops.
Honey.
Honey. No, Lisa was laughing at me the whole time. Oh, my God. Well, she, okay.
She should.
She took off to do grocery shopping or something. And I said, oh, yeah, I'm going to put this on. And we have a fairly heavy king bed. You know, it's one of those Casper giant king beds. Mm-hmm. And I, by myself, this was a big mistake. I don't know if you've ever done this, but it's kind of floppy. I lifted it up. And I'm holding it like Atlas, holding the,
oh, yeah,
the bed.
Oh, and I've done this.
And it's slowly, I'm going,
I've done this.
Oh, no. And I ended up on my back with the mattress on me.
I've had to move our bed a handful of times.
If you are having that, imagine me, little, I mean, you're
a strong man.
Yeah, you
but I was,
pack a lunch.
I thought I was Ann.
That bed.
I thought I was Ann. I thought, well, I could do this. I'm a man. It's easy. She said, next time. She came home and I was on here. Honey! Over here! She said, next time, wait till I get home. We can do this together.
Oh, man. So funny.
Hey, here's some really good news. For a long time, Google has been lobbying. Facebook, too. Lobbying to end the insanity. No, not daylight saving time.
Oh, dang it.
The leap second. Do you know about the leap second?
Oh, yeah. You mentioned this several months ago.
Yeah, that they didn't like it because it screws computers up.
Yeah.
So the Earth is not, believe it or not, as consistent as a computer or an atomic clock. Its rotation varies. And it diverges. Since 1972, whenever the atomic clock, which doesn't vary, diverges from the actual Earth time by more than 0.9 seconds, a leap second has been added to universal time. And maybe, you know, you remember this. It was only a couple of years ago. They went 10, 9 at midnight, New Year's Eve, 8, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 1, 1 0.
Yeah.
They added a second. The problem is it wreaks havoc with computers because they go, what are you talking about, 1, 1? It's midnight. What are you talking about? So Google, Facebook, a lot of computer companies were saying, look, can we get rid of this leap second? It's not going to make that big of a difference. So this has to be ruled upon by the Worldwide General Conference on Weight and Measures. They met outside Paris. You know where they meet? Versailles.
Not bad.
Oh boy.
The Hall of Mirrors.
It's a tough gig.
On the November 18th, and they've decided, okay, but we're not going to do this right away. From 2035, we're not going to do leap seconds anymore. What does that mean? Well, it's not predictable because the Earth is wobbly. So they don't know how much we're going to...
How often in general do they do leap seconds?
I think it's like every 5 or 6 years. I can remember in my lifetime several.
Matthew, do you like remember leap seconds in your life?
No.
Is that a normal thing to do?
Sir, I have no idea what I ate for breakfast today.
Right, exactly. Right,
let me ask Mastodon. Hey, Mastodon. Anyway, do you remember it? Look, I bet you John remembers them because you're kind of geeky. You remember leap seconds?
Kind of.
We've talked about it. Representatives from Canada, the United States, and France were among those at the CGPM who called for the leap second to be scrapped. But Russia, which voted against the proposal.
Of course.
If you guys like it, we don't like it. Want to push back the date to 2040 or later to deal with... Oh, actually, they have a good reason. They have their own GPS system, GLONASS, and that is a problem for GLONASS. The Russian system... I don't know why. The Russian system incorporates leap seconds. GPSs already ignore them. But for some reason, the Russians built those in. So Russia is going to have to install new satellites and ground stations.
Jesus.
For GLONASS to work. Whoops. Astronomers who rely on UTC to align their telescopes will also have to adjust for the change. Because the telescopes care about the Earth's actual rotation. Nobody else does, by the way. If we're off... If the day was off by a tenth of a second, who would care or notice, right?
John,
Kylo and Biscuit,
Kylo and Biscuit. No, they're the ones that are confused by the leap second. They know what's going on.
Wait a minute,
they're confused. The current situation is unsustainable, says Elizabeth Donnelly, who handles the time and frequency division at the NIST Boulder, where the universal
clock is. I used to listen to that on the when I was at my ham radio or shortwave radio days.
Yeah. WWV. Yeah. She says the current situation is unsustainable and would continue to get worse. Different organizations handle the leap second differently. Google, for example, smears the extra second over a 24-hour period. They can't just stop for a second. This creates an ambiguity between time sources as much as half a second, which she says is huge. Although in the long term, Earth's rotation is slowing as a result of the pull of the moon, a speed up since 2020 has also made the issue more pressing because for the first time ever. Oh, see, I was doing the wrong thing. It's actually 54320.
Oh, I see.
You right. skip ahead, oh, but for the first time, a leap second might need to be removed. Oh, no, I wasn't wrong. So it is 54321. You're adding a second. It might need to be 54320 or 10. No, 54320. Because a leap second has to be removed. UTC has only ever had to slow by a beat to wait for Earth. It has never had to skip ahead to catch up with it.
Well, you know, I'm sure this is going to be on the year-end highlights of the year. I have no doubt.
Oh, you'd probably talk about Elon Musk or something.
This is riveting.
Oh, I think Gutenberg's better than this. Jeez.
Okay, well, then I'm not going to bring up the Rona bite. You obviously don't care.
I was just reading about that. The Rona. Yeah, I was just reading about
Do you care about the Rona bite?
Of course yeah, I do,
course.
Leo.
Of course.
So Google.
The Rona Graham, you mean?
Well, there are lots of Ronas. There's So Google. We run out after Yada and Zeta bytes, right? That's we run out. We don't have anything that comes because it's YZ. We're at the end of the alphabet. Google has been proposing that the next step after Zeta byte should be Hella byte.
That's a Hella byte.
That's a Hella byte.
Every teenager here in Sonoma County.
So it's a Hella byte, man. Zeta is 10 to the 21st. Yada is 10 to the 24th. We don't have a 10 to the 27th or 10 to the 30th. It's every three zeros you have to add another thing. So the general same people, again, at Versailles, they were busy this week. They
decided it long before. They've been out at restaurants constantly.
We should call it a Rona bite. So 10 to the 27th will be a Rona bite. And 10 to the 30th would be a Quetta byte, Quetta. The world produces a zettabyte of data every year, is expected to reach a yada byte a year in the next
yada,
decade.
Yada, yada, yada.
Yada, yada, yada. The problem is they start with letters of the alphabet, and the only two letters that are currently not used are Q and R. Google wanted.
It's a conspiracy.
Google wanted Hellabyte and Brontobyte. But H and B are not available. They've been used. So it has to be Q and R. When you go small, it ends with an A. When you go big, it ends with an O. So, for instance, the Earth is 6 ronograms. That's a 6 followed by 27 zeros. Is this better or worse than the leap second?
Please find a Sudoku story.
It's about the same.
News from Versailles! All right, I'm just going to stop.
I heard that the group that came up with this is known only as the Pentaverate. And they meet fortnightly in a location known as the Meadows.
Is that true, or are you making that up?
Oh, no, gosh. That's from So I Married an Axe Murderer.
Oh, okay.
Mike Myers talks about his dad is convinced there's a secret group called the Pentaverate.
So there's Ronto bite, which is
over
small.
Those seconds we've just lived through.
That's actually wait a minute. I'm not done because I got to tell you.
I bet you're not.
After, he's not done.
There's a Ronto meter and a Quecto meter. So that's the negatives. Okay, if it ends with an O, it's smaller. A, it's bigger. You know, they didn't like this on Twitter either when I brought it up.
I think you're getting a message.
No, he's
you
not.
You tell
That's
me the futurists
and not and, getting the and message.
Joe Libin was like, nah. Mm-mm.
Yeah, it wasn't interesting.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. He's got a whole list. There's tons of stories, folks. There's just lots of stories in here. All kinds of interesting things happening in this world.
All right.
And he
all right,
picks that
right,
to go on
right, I got
for
one
30
for you.
Minutes.
I got one for you. Elizabeth Holmes.
Okay.
Ooh. Yeah.
11
That's
years.
A lot of leap seconds she's going to be losing.
Yeah.
That's real time.
There's a reason why it's so long, though. That's kind of interesting. I find this interesting. Is because the sentencing guidelines are tied to the amount of money she took. It's not, oh, she you know, people could have died. No, no, no.
Yeah.
That's not what's going on. It's people lost money, a lot of money. And right. And big again, shots.
That just shows more issues with our system.
Yeah. This is from NPR.
It still hasn't been changed.
No. How Silicon Valley fervor explains Elizabeth Holmes' 11-year prison sentence. The sentencing guidelines are dependent on how much money investors lost. And because Theranos raised so much money from Rupert Murdoch, who don't want to mess with Rupert, Larry Ellison, Betsy DeVos, George Shultz, they identified 10 investors who were defrauded, came up with a number of $121 million, which is actually a fraction of what the total raise was. I think they raised almost $1 billion. The judge said that's how much investors lost when offset by the amount Theranos stock would have been worth without Holmes' deceit. So,
you know, I guess that's the black and white side of the law.
I think it's so insulting.
Binary is, all right, these are the facts of the matter.
Yeah.
What happened is money was lost, not necessarily people died.
Yeah. What about the people's lives that were risked by the fraudulent blood drop technology, right? Oh, no, no. We're more worried about Betsy DeVos's millions.
You know, but we also have a new CEO of a social media platform that just skates around doing whatever the hell he wants to.
Yeah.
It's our system, man.
The sentencing guidelines, after multiple factors are considered, spits out an offense level. Her level was 33. 24 points of it was based on the amount of money she defrauded.
Mm.
So, anyway.
FTX is going to be in jail for...
Oh, yeah.
What was that? What was that length of time you got there? It was a rot of years?
Rot of years.
rot of years.
See, you're using it already. You got a quetos.
It actually made sense when he was talking about it.
How about this great story in the Financial Times? Lessons from a decade of Candy Crush. This is the subhead. The puzzle games reaches huge, so why isn't it more talked about culturally?
Because it's boring.
So stupid. Three of the highest grossing mobile games ever launched in 2012, Candy Crush Saga, Clash of Clans, Puzzles and Dragons, billions in revenue, even before you count the spin-off titles or the licensing deals. Just buying the games and the in-app purchases alone, which means, by the way, that Apple also cashed in, right? 30% of that.
Mm-hmm.
Candy Crush Saga, 3 billion downloads, still today, 200 million players a month, 200 million active users a month.
That's the thing.
How many play tic-tac-toe in a month, I wonder?
We're talking about, quote, normals out there.
It says they wanted to turn Candy Crush into a TV show.
Yeah.
What would that look like?
I'm surprised Netflix hasn't done it yet.
And then the Financial Times is baffled that it did not last longer than a first season. It's just boring.
Wild.
Anyway, there's not much to say about that either. I'm not good today. I'm sorry.
That's not true. Don't beat yourself up like that, Leo. You're doing great.
Oh, he's so Canadian.
You're doing great.
So Canadian.
You're smart and people like you.
I am. Intel, even if you're not needed.
I am completely irrelevant. Intel has unveiled a real-time deep fake detector. They say 96% accuracy. It's called Fake Catcher. That's good news.
That's not problem solved. Technology solves technology problems. Yeah. There you go.
Did you hear about the deep fake of Sam Bankman?
No.
Freed?
Oh, no. So where's that?
It was quite well done, actually. Yeah. It showed up on Twitter, and it was him offering you money back, and all you had to do was, you know, send something to a specific address. It was extremely convincing.
Can I play it? Am I allowed? We got MacBreak Weekly got taken down because I didn't even put the audio on. I played an Apple ad, just the pictures yesterday.
Oh, man.
Just the pictures. And Apple says, no, you can't even play the pictures.
Of their ad.
Of their ad. I gave them a free ad play.
Free ad.
Stupid.
I remember you saying that, too.
Stupid. Unfortunately, I can't show you the video because the account has been suspended.
Saved from yourself.
For obvious reasons, yeah.
Yeah. The biggest giveaway of crypto, $100 million, directed people to a website which existed where people could enter a gateway to win crypto. It's a scam, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. But do you think people were fooled by the deep fake?
Oh, I think some were, probably.
Yeah. So it was only a matter of time. Wait a minute. Maybe there's video here. It does kind of look like him. Looks kind of kooky. Hey.
It's a little too happy.
I want to give you money. I do. I knew he was, by the way, the guy who did this was a verified
blue
check.
Nice. Of course.
Blue check fella.
Did you see that New York Times story on the blue checks?
No.
They didn't understand the difference between verification before and paid blue checks now, and they did this huge analysis
of
blue checks that was kind of meaningless as far as I could tell.
Let's see. Movie theater stocks pop after a report says Amazon plans to spend $1 billion on releases.
Meanwhile, Disney's going through hell because nobody's streaming.
Yep.
Boy, if Amazon wants to lose money, movies. That's the way to
there
go.
There you go.
Yeah.
You can lose a lot of money really fast.
Yeah.
Right.
I will say I'm enjoying their football coverage, even though the games have been dogs. It's not their fault.
Do you think the NFL screwed them? Like, they were looking at the schedule and said, let's give those to Amazon.
No. Well no, I mean,
I guess you don't know ahead of time.
Preseason-wise, potentially they were good games. It's just, you know,
I don't know, though. The NFL seems really good at picking Monday night and Sunday night games. Those are usually good.
There's been some dogs on Monday night.
Okay. I liked last Monday night. That was a good one.
But I've enjoyed the Amazon coverage, especially with the stats view and allowing you to see the different overlays in real time.
And Herb Herbster is great. I like Herb Keek Street or whatever it's Kirk Herbstreet. he is very good with Al Michaels. I like them together. That's a good team. Yeah. All right. I think it's a changelog time. What do you say?
Is there a changelog?
Play the drums.
Is there one?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there. Look, fancy that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, is there a changelog today? The Black Friday deals for the Google are spectacular. If you were smart if you held off and didn't run and buy a Pixel 7, a Pixel Watch, or Pixel Buds Pro, some of the discounts are amazing. Pixel 7 Pro, well, this isn't the best, $749. That's only $50 off. Pixel Watch, $50 off as well. But shop around because I see Pixel 7 on sale at Best Buy, Target, Amazon, and Google for $499. Pixel 7 Pro, $749 is $150 off, so I guess that's okay. 6A, $150 off. So there's some good deals out there.
So I got to ask, Mr. Laporte.
Yeah.
Why are these phones not those prices to begin with? This happens every year.
Time.
You wait 30 days, it's a significant discount.
The schmuck
and then
tax.
Beyond that is another
it's the schmuck
discount.
Tax, and I pay it every year.
Oh, yeah.
I pay the schmuck tax. Look at this, a Nest Mini, normally $50, $18. We know now, though, that they lose
money.
They
get rid of them.
They lose money.
Clear them out. Get rid of them. Get rid of them. That's at Walmart, $19.99, Best Buy, Target, and Google. So these are all from The Verge, but some really good deals right now on Google stuff. Google Fi, if you're a Google Fi customer, you're going to get even. And I bought mine through Google Fi. I wish I'd known this. You could save $300 in the Pixel 7 Pro if you buy it through Google Fi. I did save $100 because I got it through Fi. Fi is Google's MVNO, their cell service, and which I have, I have an account with. I like it, especially for international travel. Google is launching new search, shopping, and maps features. Whoops, that's the wrong story.
Did I do that again? Oh, jeez, I thought I fixed that.
You linked to the wrong story.
No, because the problem is when you link to something else and then you change the link, it doesn't remember the changed link.
Was it on the Google blog?
No, it was from the TLDR newsletter.
Okay. Well, let me just, I bet you they took it from the keyword.
If you search for the headline, you'll probably get it.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's my fault.
Well, hey, thank you for putting a story in there, though.
I try.
What are you playing, a video game? Who's playing that video game?
Oh, sorry. My alarm went off.
Oh, okay. Google launches new search, shopping, and maps features, multi-search.
There you go. You got it.
For food. So,
So you see the dish. You take a picture of the dish. Can you say, find this dish near me?
Oh, Hamantaschen, near me. All right. That sounds good.
I don't think that was Hamantaschen.
Well, it was kind
it's
of.
It was Goyish version of it.
Goyish, yeah. Hamantaschen is what that was. Exactly. You can also search for specific. Well, I guess that was specific dishes. Or no, how is that different? See a food dish you think looks tasty and makes you hungry? Well, with Google Lens, you take a photo of that dish, type near me in the multi-search, and you'll have where I can get that. In addition to searching by photo for dishes near you, you can also type your search in to find those specific dishes. Truffle mac and cheese near me. And then you'll find Mama's Handmade.
You know, truffles are overrated. I just don't like adding truffles to everything.
Everything.
I'm just a man of the people.
It makes everything taste good. Everything.
Oh, no, it doesn't.
No, I'm with you, Mr. Jarvis.
Yeah. No, I knew that about bacon. You, Ant. You are not a truffle man, Ant, and I knew that.
It's not bacon. You know,
don't
you
go to Peru.
Bacon on a chrome Ford Mustang bumper, and it tastes good.
They put truffles in everything.
Everything. Everything.
Google is using now GAN models, the generative adversarial networks that Stacey loves so much, to improve translated text with Google Lens.
Okay.
Launching later this year, but before the end of the year. Looks like the same exact text. I don't know how it's improved, but anyway. Google Shopping with AR shoes. Google's releasing shopping features to help you see shoes in augmented reality right over your own shoes. Google says, this is so sad. This is like straight out of Idiocracy. Google says this new shopping AR experience for sneakers, oh, not even any shoe, just sneakers, or trainers, as you might be saying in other lands, allows you to spin, zoom, and see shoes in your space. This will work across brands like Saucony, Vans, and Merrell. Starts rolling out in the U.S. today. Here is a screenshot of what this looks like. Don't put your shoes on the table.
Where's Adidas or Adidas? They were working on this several years ago with Adobe.
Yeah. Do you call them Adidas?
No, I just said that for the European folks because European that's exactly folks. How they pronounce
is it.
It
really?
Adidas.
Adidas. Adidas, yeah. That's his name.
That's the correct pronunciation.
This is Deutsch. Yeah, yeah.
Adidas.
Das stimmt.
I'm going to call him Adidas from now on. I like that.
But Eugen is Eugene. It's so confusing.
New shopping models for AR beauty. Augmented reality search features for you to try on products like skin tones. 150 models representing diverse. Oh, so you tried the makeup on a skin tone that matches yours, or face shape, or ethnicity, or skin type, so you can test foundation shades and see what that's going to look like. Google Maps has added a live view search, so it's kind of like Lens as well. So you open it up, turn on the camera, and it'll say, "Oh, yeah, over there, that's a nice place to get some hot pot or something."
Some what?
I don't know. London, Los Angeles, New York, Paris, San Francisco, and Tokyo. I don't know why I came up with that. Hot pot. Hot pot. It's good. Google Maps.
Mongolian hot pot.
That's it's Mongolian. Yeah. Google Maps adds EV charging filters and wheelchair accessibility. Good. Lots of new features. See? You thought this changelog was just going to be some lightweight crap. No. That's it, though. Wait a minute. YouTube releases in-depth podcasting guide with best practices. I bet you Renee Ritchie might have had something to do with that, don't you think? And you can now ask Google Assistant to search and play podcasts by guest or episode. So you could say, I want to hear Matthew Ingram on This Week in Google.
Ooh.
And it will play, you know, whatever it wants, really.
Mr. Laporte, were there any rumors of YouTube pulling a Spotify far as the podcast world goes?
Doing what? Pulling? Oh, you're saying you'll be exclusive?
Right.
No, I haven't heard it, but I wouldn't be surprised. That would they've you got know, the
that,
money
that was
to
the
do
first
that.
Thing that came to my mind when I saw this piece about, you know, the best practices.
Yeah. Well, let me see. Best practice.
To do something?
Don't put your podcast anywhere else. That's a bad practice.
Put it on RSS.
Yeah.
RSS is, with podcasts. As Dave Weiner would say, podcast without RSS is not a podcast.
I agree. It's not a podcast. Right. It's something else. But it's not a podcast.
It's a Spotify show.
Podcast on an
existing
channel.
Have Dave on and, and Adam Curry on, and they could talk about who invented podcasts.
Yeah, they did it together. But Dave somehow has decided he doesn't like me now. So I don't know. He was
really?
Yeah, he's mad at me. He says, well I'm just going to have some other journalist try feedland.org.
Dave Weiner? Is that what you're talking
about? Yeah, he said it in the Mastodon. He said, I like Dave. I got nothing against him. I guess that made him mad that I didn't like Feedland or something. I don't know.
What did you talk about Feedland?
It was in Mastodon. Feedland, we'll give it a plug. Feedland is an interesting idea. I did say it would be nice if I didn't have to use Twitter to authenticate. But
that's fair.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Because it's the only way to do it. You got it. But, and it's not working because I probably signed off. But anyway, the idea is you have a feed, it's like RSS feeds, but it's social. Like I see your feed and you see mine. And I don't, that's not what I use RSS for. I use RSS to prepare the shows. To find the big stories about yada bytes and leap seconds, you're not going to find those anywhere else. You gotta do your work. And that's the Google changelog. All right. We're going to take a little break, come back, and your picks of the week are next. So prepare them with diligence. Our show today brought to you by HPE GreenLake, orchestrated by the experts at CDW. The helpful people at CDW understand that your organization needs simple management over its big data. But with some needing to keep their workloads on-prem due to organizational requirements, it can feel challenging, you know, to do that, to organize and optimize your data. And that's where CDW can help your organization by consolidating and managing all your data in one flexible, unified experience with the HPE GreenLake Edge to Cloud platform. The experience you get with HPE GreenLake is unique because no matter where your data or applications live, you can free up energy and resources with automated processes and streamlined management. We can always use some streamlining these days, can't we? Not only that, HPE GreenLake creates a seamless cloud experience among multiple data environments thanks to the as-a-service model that meets your remote workforce at the edge. And with unrivaled scalability, you'll see an instant increase in capacity, allowing for greater flexibility and accelerated business growth so your team can tackle bigger priorities like innovation. When you need to get more out of your technology, HPE makes data transformation possible. CDW makes it powerful. Learn more at cdw.com/HPE. And we thank CDW for their support of This Week in Google, cdw.com/HPE. So nice to have you, Matthew Ingram, the Columbia Journalism Review. He's on matjourna.host/MatthewI with one T.
One T, Matthew.
One T, Matthew. He's the one, ladies and gentlemen. Do you have a thing of the week this week?
I have a number of things.
Oh, thank you.
So many.
Let's do them
so
all.
So many to choose from.
I love them all.
So one that just occurred to me when we were talking about who's verified on Twitter, I saw someone bought one of these. I think it was Ryan Broderick, who has a great newsletter called Garbage Day.
I love Garbage Day. I love it.
It's fantastic. He had a picture of this. There's a plaque, and it says, in honor of at Broderick or whatever, who had a verified Twitter account before they were available for purchase.
Oh, I'm getting that
nice
plaque.
Wooden plaque that's framed. Yeah. It's only $80.
I have a verified plaque. Oh, $80.
There you go.
$80.
You have to buy it.
I mean, this is good quality.
You have
quality
to verify that you have Twitter.
Yeah.
Huh. Wow. Should I buy it?
It's a great little...
That's awesome.
I think someone gave it to him. Anyway, if you're into that sort of thing.
Oh, look, I have to authorize, verify forever to access my account. This is like serious. Okay, wait a minute. It's generating my plaque. Lasers are firing up. Oh, look at that.
There you go. There you go.
Oh.
See?
Wait a minute. Just if I copy the image, maybe that would be.
Hey, won't be suitable for hanging.
Don't do that on the air.
Wow. You are verified. Check out below to claim your plaque. That's pretty funny.
Cool.
Yeah, I thought it was funny.
All right, I'm going to buy it.
I once worked on a proposal when I worked for Advance, the newspaper company, for a function we called Placket.
Yeah.
And my idea was, because people love when your kids are on the, you know, the kids' names in the paper.
Yeah.
You want that. So it was a whole thing where you could see a story and you could say, give me a plaque of that. And I worked with a guy who had a whole trophy company. We were going to do that, but it never turned out.
What else you got? You said you had more than one thing.
So the second thing.
That was pretty good, though, by the way. Nice start.
That was good. Nice.
Yeah.
The second thing is a little weird, but it's a rabbit hole that you can go down if you want to. It's research into a common parasite called Toxoplasmosis gondii, which is commonly transmitted by
cats. It's a cat.
Cats.
That's cat the cat. Yeah. That's the one that turns people into cat people.
Well, more than that. So the theory is the parasite is trying to make you more attractive or get you to have sex with a lot of people. So then it can pass itself on, so it makes you more appealing to the opposite sex. It's not clear to me whether it makes you more appealing to another person with T. gondii or whether it just makes you more appealing in general. It also, research shows that it encourages risk-taking behavior. So I think that's one.
Elon Musk has it. That's how we figured it out. You've diagnosed him.
So this, you get toxoplasma by contact with feline scat. So cleaning kitty litter or eating it.
Yeah.
And don't eat it. But if you did. You
know, some high proportion of cat owners already have it.
Already have it. And I've heard before.
Very damaging to pregnancies.
Yeah, it's not good. But the life cycle of this parasite is wild because it grows in your brain. And then the idea is a cat eats you, like a big cat. And it gets it, and so it's a cycle that goes around, and then it poops it out, and then another human eats it, and it grows in your brain, and then the cat eats you. So the thesis was for a long time that if you have this infection, you will suddenly want to be around cats a lot, and that eventually a big cat will just eat you, and then the parasite goes on. But so no, this is a new thing. And you know what? I find my wife extremely attractive, so it might be real.
The guy's extrapolating from behavior that is seen in rats, for example. They actually, instead of being repulsed by cats, they're actually attracted to them.
Yeah.
Which then, of course, makes the cat eat them.
Yeah. I think that's, it's not about attractiveness.
I just find it fascinating.
It's about edibleness.
Yeah. I find it fascinating that the idea that this little parasite is controlling people and making them engage in certain types of behavior that's more, you know, appealing theoretically to sexual partners.
There is actually a Elon Musk connection, because a more recent study found people infected with Toxoplasmosis gondii were more likely to engage in risky entrepreneurial behavior.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They have a lower risk of fear of failure.
And multiple sexual partners is also, and he's got,
he wants to have as many children.
Like 12 kids.
I think
we
figured it out.
Yeah. I think we're onto something.
Oh, there's a book by Robert Darton, The Great Cat Massacre, may occur in Silicon Valley.
Toxoplasmosis.
I'm going to apply for funding to look into this in greater detail.
I keep telling Lisa she's got it. By the way, I bought the plaque.
Do you have cats?
I bought the plaque. We will
you
show it. I bought the plaque.
Good on you.
You got to put it up on your desk.
I'm going to put it right here on the desk.
Yeah.
It was a little pricey, but you know what? It's for a good cause.
It's worth it.
My own self-worth. and then there's one more. Don't stop now.
Yeah. So the third one is about a T-Rex skeleton sale. Christie was going to So these skeletons go for $15, $16 million. This one, I think, was expected to go for 20 plus. And so they had it listed. And then apparently this previous skeleton that was sold, T-Rex skeleton, a company retained the rights to that skeleton, the rights to make replicas of it. And so they alleged that...
It's an NFT skeleton? How do they do that?
No, that they just, they cast the parts and then you can buy a cheaper version that's plastic. Oh. It's only 600 grand or something. And so they alleged that the owners of this other skeleton basically cast replacement parts from the previous T-Rex.
Well, couldn't you tell? So, I mean, plastic's not like fossilized bone.
So a lot of T-Rex skeletons, like there's very few that are complete. So they all have replica bones. So their argument was the replica bones that they created were identical to the ones in this other skeleton to which they have the intellectual property rights.
Who owns the T-Rex?
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, Matthew, you've earned your place here on the Twig
panel. Yeah, you have. Jeez.
I mean, it's no Rotabite, but okay, it'll do. Jeff, your pick of the week. Actually, a number. Do you have a number?
I do have a number. I do. I could have gone back to the listings and talked about perhaps unstable diffusion, an AI porn generator, but I won't do that.
Oh, jeez.
I won't
do that.
Thank you.
Oh, jeez. Thank you.
Thank you.
Instead, Pew has a new survey of teenagers and the internet. And of course, what you expect is it's ruining their lives. They'll never be the same. The future is dead. They're all in fear and hatred. But of course, you're going to hear me say, no, that's not the case. 8 in 10 teens say that what they see on social media makes them feel more connected to what's going on with their friends' lives.
That's nice.
While 71% say it makes them feel like they have a place where they can show their creative side.
That's true.
67% say these platforms make them feel as if they have people who can help them, help support them through tough times. Hmm. A smaller share, they're still a majority, say the same for feeling more accepted, these positive sentiments are expressed by teens across demographic groups. When the overall impact of social media on them personally, more teens say its effect has been mostly positive, 32%, than mostly negative, 9%. The largest share say that it's neutral. 59% believe that social media is neither positive nor negative. Teens are more likely to view social media as having a negative effect on others than themselves. So that's the number, the third person effect.
This is like asking an alcoholic, do you think alcohol is causing a problem in your life? Well, isn't it? These teens are self-reporting. This is not...
Well, but that's the same. How is that different from the moral panic, get ready, Ant, that says... teens say it's terrible. Depends on how you do the survey. You know, it's.
Self-reporting is the worst way to find out how people really feel about.
Just remember what Homer said. Alcohol is the cause of and the solution to all life problems.
Well said.
Well Homer said, Simpson. My man. Well said. Ant, what's your thing of the week?
I've forgotten. Oh, Boris effects. Of course, this is now the Black Friday and holiday shopping season. Boris effects have a discount going on for their package.
What are Boris effects?
5%. Boris effects is a group of plugins that you can add to various video editors as well as some photo editors like Photoshop to do different special effects and motion tracking and even green screening for composites. Really, really nifty tools. I've used their particle package before, Particle Illusion. I'm pretty interested in getting the Continuum package and playing around with that. But
what is particle? So just give us some idea.
Particle Illusion allows you to say you want to just create a graphic of something exploding. You can create the particles to make it look realistic.
Oh, that's
kind of
cool.
I used it for one of the hard hits videos where he was running, and I just put a trail of sparks behind him because he was running fast. That was with Particle Illusion. And it was, their interface is pretty straightforward, and it allows you to create these particles quite quickly and easily. So thought I'd give them a shout out. And like I said, it's 25% off starting today through the 27th or something like that for their Black Friday deal.
Okay.
And, that's my pick. And then I want to give a shout out. We had a heartbreaking loss with the boys.
Oh no.
He had a great game still. Four touchdowns, two passing, two rushing.
It's not his fault, in other words.
We lost 42-41. Oh. It came down to the wire. We went for two at the end of the game. He went to throw the pass to go for the two-point conversion. Our guy, the Cal commit, he was wide open and hard hit through the ball, but it was batted down at the line by a very tall defensive lineman. It was a great play, great game.
That sounds like a great game.
It
a real
was an
nail
unbelievable
biter.
Game against yeah. Camp Olindo, down to the wire. We got a shout out from several different newspapers and whatnot. I was proud of them. And I had a great view of one of his touchdowns, and it just really made me proud of him because it's something that we've talked about for years and years of his training, far as just having grit and wanting to be better and wanting to do better. And he proved it on that particular run. It's on line 127 there.
I had a nice view of this effort.
Oh, it's showing.
They put it on Twitter. Well, how am I supposed to know that? Okay.
But he's running along, and, you know, he's about to get sacked, and he steps away. He's like, nope, excuse me.
Nice touchdown.
He says, I got to get in there. And it's just that's just the kind of stuff that I've always tried to put in his head. It's like, go get it. You got to want it, you know.
Yep.
And I was just
sometimes you got to make the play yourself.
Really, really proud of him. Proud of the whole team. They played hard, and I appreciate the coaches and all of their support this year.
So is that it? Are they eliminated now? Is that
we are out? We finished the season 9-3. Camp Olindo is playing in the championship game. They're 12-0. They're playing against San Ramon, some school of San Ramon. So we'll see how that.
Well, the bright side is he can eat as much as he wants at Thanksgiving.
Well, he needs to because I need him to gain more weight. That rascal still won't gain enough weight. It's driving me crazy.
You can't win.
Lastly, I want to say a big thank you to the whole TWIT family. Thank y'all so much for coming out and supporting Queen Pruitt on opening night while I was at that game and we lost. And, man, she was so, so daggum excited and happy to see all of y'all.
There's just, Queen Pruitt in her just, SpongeBob
what a
debut.
Great
this is opening night.
Gosh.
And there's Anthony Nielsen and Jason Howell. There's Micah Sargent, the only one in a mask. Megan Maroney, also some old timers.
Many
Kara
people
was there.
Up.
That's nice. That's great.
She was so daggum happy.
Nice.
And thank y'all. Really, really appreciate it. I'm going to go Sunday to see it.
You still haven't seen it, huh?
I haven't been able to go yet, but I will be going Sunday.
He's memorized it, but he hasn't seen it.
It's so true. I do have it memorized by now. But we're looking forward to it. Me and the Hardhead, we're going to go Sunday
at
2 o'clock to check it out. Everybody's been saying a lot of nice things about the show in general, so we're looking forward to it. But thank y'all so much from the bottom of my heart and her heart, because she was over the moon to see everybody there.
Very nice. Very nice. Congratulator.
Yes.
I'll do it.
Mr. Ant Pruitt, you find him on Hands-On Photography, twit.tv/hop. He's also very active in the Club Twit Discord because he's the community manager in there. And by the way, we all feel like you do such a good job. Thank you for doing that. Makes a big difference.
You.
Yeah, we appreciate
it. I try.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks to Jeff Jarvis. He is the director of... I mean, the big shot, the director of the Townite Center for Entrepreneurial Journalism at the Craig Newmark Graduate School of Journalism at the City University of New York. His book is almost out, be out in a couple of months,
but more than a couple.
A couple could be eight.
It's hard
could be.
To wait for.
bit.ly/buygutenberg if you want to pre-order that. bit.ly/buy.
Thank you, boss. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
You too.
What all are you preparing tomorrow? With what machines?
I am doing nothing for the first time in several years. I usually do it.
Your son should be cooking dinner.
I wish my son were. he did some amazing stuff. I'm watching his Turkey Day stuff he's cooking, but he's not bringing any of it up here. We're going to Lisa's sister's, so that'll be fun. What are you doing for Thanksgiving? A little cacio e pepe?
Costco chicken. We love Costco chicken. I picked up two of them today.
That's your Thanksgiving? Is it just the two of you?
No. My father and my sister will be here.
Oh, good. Is Jake coming home?
And our kids, yeah.
Oh, good.
Jake just arrived, yep.
Oh,
yep.
Good. Well, have a wonderful holiday. What are you doing, Aunt? You having a good family gathering?
Yeah. I'm going to do ham. My sister-in-law will be here for a few days.
Nice.
And, but yeah, I'm doing ham again.
Is there a kind of a North Carolina or South Carolina tradition for around Thanksgiving?
It's just like everywhere else with the, you know, turkey or what have you. But I don't want turkey. Give me the pig.
Ham is a nice Virginia thing. Know, yeah.
Give me the pig. And I'm totally fine with that. Pig, mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese.
Had his
beer.
I have Odakta's mac and cheese recipe. It's a pretty amazing. I made it for Thanksgiving a couple of, mostly Velveeta.
Yeah. No, I don't need that.
I made it a couple of years ago for Thanksgiving, and it was quite popular.
Well, mine's good, too. You know, ain't no Velveeta in it, but it's good, too.
Maybe there's not. Maybe I'm doing it with this service. There's several kinds of cheeses. All I remember is you take chunks of white cheddar and you thrust it in the middle of it so it's going to melt. So you get a cheese bomb in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know that. You know that trick.
Good call.
Oh, all right. Now, I was going to ask Matthew Ingram what his plans were, but he had Thanksgiving last month.
Yeah, it's over.
So nothing to do.
It was good, though.
Oh, good.
Oh, we had all the usual stuff, you know, turkey and
Canadians do it earlier. Matthew, of course, is at the Columbia Journalism Review, CJR.org, and he's on Journa.host. So make sure you follow him on your Twitch social instance or wherever you are on the Fediverse. Journa.host/@Matthew.Matthew.I. 1T, MATHEWI. Thank you for spending some time with us, Matthew. I appreciate it.
Yeah, indeed. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'll send you a selfie with the plaque.
Okay.
Something you can frame and put on your wall.
I get a kickback for every plaque. So.
Somewhere. That money's going somewhere. We do This Week in Google every Wednesday, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2200 UTC. If you want to join us live, you can at live.twit.tv. There's audio and video there. You can, if you're watching live, you probably should chat with us. A couple of places you could do that. Of course, the IRC, open to all, irc.twit.tv, or in our Club Twit Discord. If you're a member of Club Twit, of course, you already know how to get there. If you're not, can I encourage you to join the fun? Club Twit is a mere $7 a month, but boy, you get a lot for that money. Ad-free versions of all of our shows, plus shows that we don't put out in public, like Hands on Macintosh with Micah Sargent, Hands on Windows with Paul Thurrott, The Untitled Linux Show with Jonathan Bennett, The Giz Fizz with Dick D. Bartolo. That's going to move once I stop doing the radio show December 18th to right after This Week in Google on a Wednesday evening, but it will be in the club only. So if you're a Giz Fizz fan, you've got to be a club member to watch. There's also the Twit Plus feed with shows that we don't put out anywhere else. And, of course, the Discord as well. All of that for $7 a month. And it really, these days, we need it. It helps us out an awful lot.
Plus you get
and let it be known.
In our Twit
let it be known.
Store, too, as members.
You get what?
A discount in the Twit store as members. So twit.tv/store.
10% discount.
So I'm now a paying member. I felt
I
bad.
I saw that. I did.
Promoting it.
You don't have to do
and
that.
And I know. I had a freebie, and I felt like, you know, I was a moocher at the party, and I love Twit
you.
As much as anybody else. The
Thank
least
you,
I could
Jeff.
Do is really join.
Thank
so I
you,
did.
Jeff. I really appreciate that. It does help us out a lot. Times are a little bit tight. Lisa and I are going without salary this month, which is fine. We do it sometimes. Oh, this was the one that I want to put this in Elon's closet. The real Chief Twit. This is all in the Twit store. Yeah, you get 10% off as a Club Twit member. We thank everybody who has already joined. I mean, the club is fantastic. It's a great social event. And that money doesn't just pay for the shows. It pays for everything else, all our staff salaries. It pays for the Mastodon server. It pays for the
Discord server. Look at the Christmas card picture. That's a lot of staff.
Yeah. We're down a lot from our peak. We're down, I think, 15 people. But still, yeah, we
still a lot of mouths to feed.
We care about them, and we want to keep them gainfully employed, making good stuff that you like. twit.tv/clubtwit if you're not already a member. After the fact, on-demand versions of the show, of all of our shows, all the public ones anyway, available at twit.tv. In the case of this show, it's twit.tv/twig. It's easy to remember, just the short version of the show name. You can also watch us on YouTube, youtube.com/thisweekingoogle. Or subscribe, really. That's the best thing to do from my point of view. If you subscribe, you'll get it every week the minute it's available. Just find a podcast client, uses RSS, and we're there. We are, you know, I think we probably are on Spotify and other places too.
Are.
But RSS, love that. And it means we can't spy on you, you can't spy on us. It's fair.
Exactly.
But if your podcast client, whatever it is, allows reviews, if you would just leave us a nice review, tell the world about This Week in Google, that would be really great. Thank you all for joining us. Have a great, if you are in the U.S., have a great Thanksgiving. And we will see you next week on This Week in Google. Bye-bye.
So you're doing another show after this on Wednesdays?
I won't be. Dick will be.
Oh, I see. Oh,
no, I'm not on that show.
That scared me because you would be really grumpy by then.
I don't know if grumpy.
Another show.
The world is changing rapidly. So rapidly, in fact, that it's hard to keep up. That's why Micah Sargent and I, Jason Howell, talk with the people making and breaking the tech news on Tech News Weekly every Thursday. They know these stories better than anyone, so why not get them to talk about it in their own words? Subscribe to Tech News Weekly, and you won't miss a beat every Thursday at twit.tv.